Hello, everyone, and welcome to the December 2015 Q&A episode of Weekly Manga Recap. I'm Myrock, alongside Rolo T. How's it going, man?
Oh, Nick! It's Christmas time! Holiday time!
It doesn't matter if you say it's holiday time if you're acting like Santa.
No, I'm Festival Claus! It's a different thing! It's a celebration of just wintertime merriment!
Is that like, you know, St. Festivus, would that be it, or something along those
lines? Along those lines, yeah, you got it.
Alright. Are you going to do this for the entire episode?
If my voice could hold out, I would. It hurts so much. How's it going, Nick?
I'm doing alright. Had a good weekend following Thanksgiving and stuff. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. It's the Q&A, so I think we're supposed to kick this off by asking each other questions, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want me to lead it off, or do you want to take the go?
Why don't you go first?
Do you want me to pass the ball to you, or do you want to hike it to me and I run back and I hurl it 38 yards, but it gets called back for pass interference because I'm the Patriots and the fucking NFL doesn't want me to win?
Well, why would they want you to win, though?
Yeah, I guess so. We are kind of assholes. Yeah, no, sure. I got a question for you. Nick, boom. Just going to go out there. Holiday season's upon us. Christmas season. What say you, Nick? Are you a big fan of it? Because I'm pumped. I love the Christmas season. Holiday season. Are you just bitter all year round?
I'm not bitter. It's just, I mean, I don't know. I don't feel as happy as other people do about it, basically.
I'm not gonna lie, you're dragging me down a lot. I was super excited to, like, eggnog high-five you and, like, talk about presents.
Oh, yeah, okay, look, I love the hell out of eggnog, alright? But, other than that, like, I don't really have anything in my life that I associate heavily, that I, like, treasure, and that I associate with the holiday specifically. So, I mean, it's now a very special time of the year. I don't have, like, any traditions that I really cherish anymore.
Oh, okay.
I could get into my theories as to why, but it would be very depressing, I think. I'll say it's like personal reasons on stuff, and basically, like, there are things that we don't do anymore, basically, that I would probably be more excited about if we did do them.
Made myself sad. Well, you've made me sad, but I asked the question, so my God, I mean, that's not to say, like, feel bad.
That's not to say, like, I can't, you know, make new traditions and, you know, treasure those in the future and stuff like that. But it's just like, you know, people are like, oh yeah, you know, every year I do this. And I'm like, I don't really have anything like that. So, yeah.
Aww.
So it's never as
what fun. If we made a Christmas tradition, Nick? You and I.
Like, yeah, that might help, you know.
All right, yeah. I'm gonna come up with a Christmas tradition for us, Nick. It's gonna reinvigorate this season for you. I guess I should say holiday tradition. Fuck, it's a Christmas tradition. It's going to be all full of Christianity and shit.
I'll be like, Chris, no.
I'm like, Nick, we have to eat the birthday Jesus birthday cake! Like, it wasn't actually born on December 25th. It's an ice cream cake.
Why is the cake shaped like a baby Jesus?
You get to cut a cake that's shaped like a child. Infamous seems excited about it. Why can't you be?
You gotta be cutting it for me, though. I can't be bothered. Even things he's excited about, no.
Can you just shovel that cut-up baby cake into my mouth?
Chew it for me and regurgitate it down my throat like a bird.
Like, this is so lazy.
Oh, we love the Infamous. Okay, I guess it's my turn to ask you a question.
Yeah. So,
here is something that has nothing to do with Christmas, though.
Okay.
All right. Do you think that there are comic strips that no one wants to acknowledge are, you know, past their prime? Because everyone's like,
I mean, all of them.
Well, they were like, Garfield, you know, is old and it's past its prime. Family Circus, why is that even there? Blondie, you know, all those things. But is there one, do you think, that no one acknowledges it's past its prime, but it really is?
I mean, I always loved Garfield. So I'm bad.
I still have a soft spot on my heart for it.
I think they're good. I think like the original comic back in the day was kind of like one of the comedic influences I grew up on. So I always enjoy them. I really can't think of a single currently running comic strip though that is not just like, why is this still exist? It's such a fucking oddity in today's society that there are still cartoons where like the punchline is just the, like, Beetle Bailey is still running in a magazine.
That is about World War II soldiers.
Like, it's
World War II!
Still running with the same characters, the same premise.
This Buxley, who is literally there to be the hot woman.
Yeah.
Because it was made in the 40s.
It's absurd. There's so many. Like, Dilbert, I guess maybe you're like, oh, it's like the workplace, you know, Hate Mondays, ha ha ha. But it's like, that already had a TV show that ended back in the 90s.
Yeah,
and it's still running. Like, Ziggy is just awful. Gruntilda is still running. Haggard the Horrible. I mean, the kids even know what Vikings are anymore. Like, I can't think of a single currently running comic strip that's not terrible. Like, back in the day, my mom, single mom, three kids, she related a lot to Kathy. I don't know if you remember Kathy. It's kind of sad thinking about it.
It's like
a manic depressive woman who's just talking about how she'll never get laid or get a husband.
Well, and then
the
comic ended with her getting a husband.
Yeah, that went on so long that eventually she did get a husband, and you're like, well, what's the point anymore? And they were like, I guess there isn't. I guess we'll just end it. And I'm like, wow, can't you just... I mean, I guess the other comics don't have quote-unquote plots, but I'm like, can't, like, BC reach the point where, like, oh, that meteorite's getting really close, and then credits?
Wait a minute. They're cavemen.
There's another one that came out, Nick.
Another BC.
Aren't they dinosaurs? I'm thinking of that dinosaur strip.
I think that the ones that are really awkward are by the ones that are supposed to be about younger people, by artists that are getting older. You know, like the ones that are about teenagers, like Luann and Zitz and stuff like that. And it's like, well, they're getting... You can tell they're kind of out of touch because they're acting like teenagers don't. And like, how long has Curtis been running?
Every comic at this point, I question how it's still running. I love Garfield, and I'm still like, that is taking forever. But you think back to like Family Circus and Marmaduke. I think Marmaduke's still running. Even after that garbage movie.
How did that movie get made?
And the only premise of that comic strip, quote unquote, because it's just one panel. It's just this dog is really big, and there's a lot of things that it tries to do that it's really just too big for. Like, Marmaduke, you're not a lap dog.
Marmaduke,
repeat 20 years in fucking infinite.
Marmaduke, you've got to stop hugging your owner when he comes in. Marmaduke, you can't hide there after you shit on the floor.
Yeah, you're too big. You can't hide underneath a lampshade.
Marmaduke, you can't shake dry inside the house.
You'll get water. He got water everywhere. And I have to feel like the old people who love that comic that still... I guess subscribe to a newspaper and keep it running. They have to be dying, right? Like, it has to be something that's slowly getting phased out. Like, I'm very cognitive of everything that's slowly like disappearing. Like that, just those things you can look at and you're like, oh, I'm getting older. Like when things are just starting to disappear. But fucking comic strips are like the one thing. I'm like, when will you go away?
Well, yeah, because some outlive their owners or their original artists. Like Blondie's on like its third or something artist. Family Circus has been picked up by somebody else at least once, maybe twice. These things just keep on going. And then I don't know if that is weirder or if just rerunning old Peanut strips after Charles Schulz is dead is creepier.
That is always strange to me because I'm always like, Peanuts was a weird strip to begin with, in that it was basically about like really fucked up kids who were just being mean to each other. But eventually it became like this national treasure, and now I'm like, all right.
The fact that it's like so weird and soul-searching so much of the time.
But like, it's one that I'm like, all right, like if you had to have a comic strip, just, you know, keep that going. It's almost like television where you're like, all right, Seinfeld it just needs to always be on the air somewhere. Like, I just need to be able to turn on the TV and some station at some point should be playing Seinfeld. Comic strip, as long as it still exists out there, somewhere out there should be running Peanuts and, like, Garfield. But every other strip, I mean, every strip period. I mean, I love Peanuts, but if the newspaper industry died tomorrow and I was like, oh, I won't be able to read Peanut strips every 9 to 8 months when I find a newspaper and flip to the comics page and I'm like, these are still running?
I mean, there's Calvin and Hobbes, which just ended after 10 years, and that's it. That was it.
Yeah. I think...
Good for you, Bill Larson. Anyway, that was a nice, interesting conversation. Peanuts movie coming out this year? Month or something? Isn't it? Fucking weird.
I know what you say. I know.
No, wait, it came out last month, didn't it?
It did come
it's
out.
It's already out, right?
It's already out. I think it's mostly left theaters, but I know what people are saying when they say it, but every time someone says it, I hear penis movie.
Penis movie.
God. I'm like, I'd like one to the penis movie.
Nice. All right.
Sorry, I'm a child.
That's okay. We know. So that will be our opening conversation out of the way. Let's answer some questions that you guys actually wanted to know the answers to because you sent them to us. We take email questions to us for those of you who are not familiar with the concept. So if you have a question you guys want us to answer, you can send them to weeklymangarecap@yahoo.com, which I'll be repeating at the end of the episode, but I just want to get that out of the way right now.
Do it.
All right. Let's take our first question from AnimeGuy1101, who asks, what are your thoughts for now on the Digimon Adventure Tri movies that will start this month in Japan? I'm interested in them, but I will admit that unlike a lot of people who, you know, kind of grew up and looked back with good feelings on Digimon, I've never really revisited it since I was a kid. So I'm not super excited about getting to see them. I'm sure eventually we'll check them out. Also, there's a follow-up question on maybe you guys will do a commentary on one of them as a callback to, you know, our first commentary being on the, you know, Digimon movie that was actually released over here. That's an interesting idea, a suggestion. But for now, it's just like, oh, that's interesting, cool. You know, it's nice to see that, you know, getting revisited and actually exploring the concept of them as, you know, being older and stuff. But wasn't incredibly super excited for it.
Now, are these movies? I thought it was like a series.
I thought it was a series
like a,
too.
Like a
wasn't
mini
it?
Series or something. Like
yeah.
But yeah,
because they like simulcast, didn't they?
Yeah, because it's not over, right? I assume a movie, everyone would have seen everything that's happened, but it's a series of movies now. Is what I'm hearing.
They're
movies.
Called. Films, a 6-part series of films serving as a direct sequel to the first two television series.
Huh.
Runtime of 80 minutes. Okay. So, yeah, alright, that is movie length.
Okay.
But, okay.
Interesting.
Miniseries, I think, is a better term for it, but yeah.
Yeah, at some point I might check it out. I love Digimon, the first series, so seeing those characters again is exciting. Yeah, at some point I'm sure I'll check it out. Maybe if it's because of the podcast and all the better for it. But, yeah, no, I mean, it seems, at the very least, why not check it out? Mm-hmm. Nostalgia and whatnot.
And there are a bunch of suggestions, but those are pretty much... Oh, wait, there... Yeah, it's pretty much all suggestions after that.
So, okay. Alright, question here then from Sig. I recall a question where you made One Piece crews with characters from other series. So let's try a different approach. Who would you choose for a World Trigger team out of the characters in other Jump manga, and what would their role slash triggers be? It would be 3 main members, 1 substitute, and 1 operator. However, he adds a few rules. 1, physical abilities are scaled to more realistic levels, and 2, any superhuman abilities not explainable by side effects are disabled. So yes. A World Trigger team... 3 members, a substitute, and an operator using another Jump series.
Yes. I actually took some time to figure out my answer for this. So I have mine all set.
Okay.
I guess
I spent way too much time.
No,
on
go.
This.
All right, go ahead. I want to hear this. Go ahead.
I spent way too much time. I created 3 teams.
Nice!
With different themes to them.
Oh, I have a theme for my team as well.
and I tried as desperately hard as I could so that no one, like it was one per series sort of thing. I think I broke it once.
Oh, so you don't have too many doubles in there.
Yeah, I try not to. I think one of them I think there's two doubles in there, just unintended. But my first team, this is kind of the most basic team, but I call this Team No Nonsense, which is Jotaro from JoJo, who would be, of course, an attacker, who uses, like, Reiji's fist-like triggers. Then there'd be Slade, a very obscure character from Beat the Vandal Buster.
Oh, which, that's why I don't recognize it.
Yeah, which is a lot of people being like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It's a jump series, though.
Yeah, and he basically had, like, a long, kind of like a bladed staff kind of thing that he used, so I imagine it'd be kind of just like, what's the staff guy's name? Yo, something or another. Similar sort of premise as that. And then Uryu would be team captain as their gunner.
Okay.
With their sub being Hibari from Katakio Hitman Reborn, because he's not really, like, a team player, he's kind of an asshole. You know? But, in a clutch, they could bring him in.
Alright.
And their operator would be Alice from Food Wars. Because in Food Wars, she's a very technologically minded person, always looking at the newest advancements in food technology. You put her into the World Trigger World, I feel like she'd be on the forefront of developing and seeing new and interesting triggers. And since her teammates are kind of like idiots or like very quiet people, I feel like she'd be the one to kind of get them invested in stuff.
She would be loud enough to make up for all of their silence.
That's also another point. I was like, we need someone with some energy on this team. Because otherwise, no one's going to talk. Slade never talked. It was like, he was just a quiet jerk face.
Okay. I like it.
Alright, so I also have Team Underdog. So these would be like our protagonist series, or our protagonist team.
Nice.
Which would be Rock Lee as an attacker, Usopp as a sniper, and Haruma as a gunner, and also as team captain.
So very good, because he was good with machine guns and such.
Yes, that's yeah, he always used those, but also, like Osamu, very little try on, I assume, because he did about average level, but nothing spectacular, because that was the big point of him in
right, Shield. He worked out, he trained his body and such, but he... No matter what, he was not, you know, physically gifted like a lot of the characters yet.
Mm-hmm. But so I feel like with him and Usopp, you have a lot of traps and stuff going on. Rock Lee would kind of be like that front and forward center that Haruma would kind of have to motivate and push forward. But that's Haruma's talent, is kind of making the best out of a situation, playing psychological warfare. I feel like he'd do really good in that role. I put as their sub, this is kind of, I ran out of time towards the end, so this is maybe a weird one. Yeah, I panicked.
It's like you get down to 15 seconds in your fantasy football league, and you're like, yeah, I'm on pressure.
Kicker in the fifth round. Their sub is Shinobu from Mononofu, because on this team of underdogs, I needed the most underdog of them all, basically. But he would be the bench rider. Basically, it's Yukimitsu's story.
Basically, Yukimitsu, but you wind up on series, right?
Yeah, so this would be the long one. Eventually, a day will come, and his straightforward thinking, his zoning in, will pay off. And for their operator, I put Yaruruzu from My Hero Academia.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Smart character.
What is it with you and your fan service characters being the operators?
Well, actually, it's a little bit of the case for my last team.
Really?
Yes. This is a team because the one rule was any superhuman abilities, non-explainable side effects are disabled. So I created one team solely dedicated on making, like, abusing that. So this is Team Side Effect, where everyone on this team has side effects. The sub in this mode, this is one of the ones I also wasn't crazy about, but their sub is Fukuru from One Piece. Because if you recall, he was the zipper mouth guy from Water 7. Anyone who punched him, he could measure their, Dokurishi levels? Essentially their power levels. And I feel like he could do the same thing. Like, that's a side effect in this series. If you punch him, he could measure their try-on very accurately. Yeah. I feel like he'd be useful there. I almost considered him for an operator, but my operator in this one is actually Yugi, or rather Yami from Yu-Gi-Oh, because you use the heart of the cards kind of to cheat. but the teammates then are Aegon, Fuck, this team was almost all fucking duplicates, I realize now. Oh, I feel lame. Anyway, it's Aegon, who'd be an all-rounder, because Godspeed Impulse definitely would be a side effect.
I guess. I mean, it's a he, I mean,
it's a physical sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
It's
yeah.
Reactive, yeah.
Yeah. Kabuto from Siren would be a gunner, because he has the ability, his Siren power, his psychic power, we're talking about Siren next week, but his psychic power is basically he can see death when it's coming, and basically know when to, like, physically can see spots where death would occur. So I feel like he'd be on the battlefield to basically warn them when he'd see, you know, he could actually see spots of death, because it's not that far off from what Jin's ability is, a foresight. Mm-hmm. And then the last one would be Sasuke, because the magic eyes, honestly, in some small ways, could totally work. Like, just the ability to be able to see something and be able to duplicate it.
Yeah.
It's not that far off from what, what's his name? The guy from Susanari 1. I can't remember his name, but the guy with the shield.
Yeah, he could copy any technique.
Basically,
because
he had
such a ridiculous learning speed, yeah.
So, yes, I put too much work into this. Actually, wait, no, hold on. Yugi wasn't... I think I put, jokingly, I put Yugi as my operator. I think my actual operator was Ibaku from Gakkyo Hotei.
So okay.
I feel like he'd get a lot... He wouldn't be as much as, like, a use on, like, in the battle, but I feel like he'd be very good pre-battle figuring things out and coming in prepared.
Right.
Anyway, okay. I spent way too much fucking work on this.
I see that. All right. I'm very proud of my one team.
Okay.
It is Team Stoic.
Okay.
I have as the attacker Neji from Naruto.
Mm-hmm.
He's very skilled in hand-to-hand combat. And also, Byakugan. That could easily be explained by side effects. You know, having 360-degree vision would be very helpful. For my gunner, I also have Ishida.
Okay.
You had that idea. I think we both had the same thought process, which is he's very good at, you know, shooting a bunch of projectiles while being in the middle of combat and so on. For my sniper, I have Von Auger from One Piece.
Oh, a deep pull.
Yeah, the Blackbeard Pirate Sniper. So, as it turns out, my main three combatants are all big three guys. So, uh-huh. There you go. My substitute, this is going to be a bit of a weird one. It is Kuroko from Kuroko no Basuke.
Okay.
Because he's not very physically strong or fast, but he has the almost supernatural ability to just not stand out, and people constantly overlook him.
I actually like that one a lot,
so
too, because...
he would be great as an assassin, but you couldn't use him constantly all the time. He is a sixth player. He's a bench rider in his series as well. And my operator is Haruma. Just to completely go against all that.
You're like in a quiet, very down... Oh, that's my operator screams a lot.
He's just screaming through the headset and telling him what to do. Get your fucking ass in gear, fucking Four Eyes Bowman.
I want to note, though, on my Team No Nonsense, I strongly considered putting Shin there until I realized a fatal flaw in Shin. Mm-hmm. Can't use technology. He couldn't use triggers.
Oh.
He'd just break them all. He'd never be able to use them.
He would never even be able to take part in the rank wars.
Yeah, he'd break every trigger. He'd be like, what's this? Snap.
He would have to, like, just... He would just, like, have to kind of...
physically
be shipped into the neighbors' bases and wander around wondering what stuff does and breaking it.
He's their secret weapon.
Unleash number 40.
What does this do? Patrol. Sir, all of our power levels are going down. Oops.
The Meaden are barbaric.
Damn Meaden monkeys.
Oh, I love it.
So yeah, that's a good one.
Good stuff. All right. Thank you for asking that question. We had fun with that one. Next, we have a question from Tropical. Sending this message in code with a plan to defeat our enemies. Please extract it by answering the following questions. Are you still caught up with Spirit Circle, and if so, what do you think about the revelations in this arc about the Seventh Life, and how far does Fortuna rank in your list of villains? That man is pretty fucked up, seriously. I'm not caught up on it, I'll admit.
Yeah, no, I'm not caught up on it. I haven't read it.
That answers that, I guess. I think... I think that you probably have the same feeling as me, which is let's just, you know, wait until it's actually over and then catch up.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of series, though, at this point. It's like...
So many series where it's like, well, we read just that, and maybe we'll keep up with it.
And even series that, like, before Weekly Manga, like Gamblefish, I know, is, like, ended or coming close to ending. There's, like, 3 years of it I need to catch up on, and it's like, when is that going to happen?
How many movie suggestions did you guys get before deciding on the Digimon the movie? And how many suggestions should we consider sending in the future? Send as many suggestions as you want. We're only going to do one a month, keep that in mind. But, send as many as you want. In terms of how many suggest, I don't think we got too many suggestions because we had decided on the movie relatively shortly before we made a big announcement that we were going to do it, or when we were going to do the first one.
Yeah, and then we decided on the second movie as we were doing the first one, basically.
Right. We did consider a few other movies. One of the ones, for example, I suggested, maybe we could do one of the Dragon Ball movies because they're, you know, people are very familiar with them. Maybe we could do, you know, the Pokemon movie because people are very familiar with that. And then, while we were talking about the Pokemon movie, it was like, oh wait, there was that awful Digimon movie. Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah, I think I was like looking through Netflix to find movies, and I was just like, oh right.
There was a Digimon movie.
Oh god, that turkey.
So that's that basically is that. Third final question in this email. For this blessed year coming to a close, which series are you looking forward to seeing where it ends up going by the end? Right now I'm super heavily invested in Food Wars because like every single like chapter I'm just like, what's going to happen next? In terms of huge directions it could take. I don't know. What about you?
I guess in this last one, I mean, we got this question early November, so I guess there was more time at this point. Now it's about a month left, and not even that, because there's going to be a break. So it's basically, what are you excited about in the next, like, three or so chapters? In which case, I guess I'd probably say World Trigger, just because I'm kind of curious to see where they go. We're kind of at a interesting point right now where there's a big plot going on, but there's also a big rank war potentially supposed to be happening soon, so I don't know. I think that's probably the one. Almost all series though I'm kind of excited to see where they go. I guess World Trigger is just the one I probably want to see the most, just because it's the one I'm most invested in at the moment.
I guess in terms of longer term stuff, I'm curious to see what Black Clover does, honestly, because there has not really been the longest thing that we've had has been that invasion. We don't even know what the hell's going on with that. We haven't seen a good amount of the villain. So I guess in terms of like we've gotten so little like big stuff so far. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with that. And I mean, My Hero Academia is a given. I mean, because we've got a villain group coming together in that one, and it seems like even when we're kind of just inching through the plot, big important things are still happening because the character development has been so strong in it. So if once we get our first big story arc from that one, I think that's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm. I think all series right now, something to look forward to.
Next up.
All right, this one is from... We didn't leave his name, but I know he doesn't care. So this is from Jonah Bacon Lefkowitz. It's a Dear Y Ruler, Dear Y Killswitch Engage, Ruler of Time, and Rollo Baby Metal T.
Remembering our stand names for each other.
Yes. When is fan service distracting to you, and when does it take away from the story?
He goes through the examples of life. Some people have objected to the Mink female characters being so, you know, typical Oda design. As opposed to the males seeming more monstrous. And also, Fairy Tail, there's all this shameless fan service, but there's also fan service in Shokugeki no Soma that is funny as opposed to stupid. And I think that a lot of it has to do with the context it's presented in, really. One of the things that we really hounded on Freezing for was inappropriate use of fan service, because, for example, main character was a huge source of fan service, despite a big part of her backstory being sexual abuse. Same thing with Batum. Like, fan service with whatever the female lead's name was. She was a rape victim, and it was like, oh, fan service and stuff.
Those are like the most flagrant bad examples, right, too. Like, those are the worst versions of it. There's some that can just take away from it, but it really kind of comes down to execution and what the general tone of the story is. Because Fairy Tail, for the most part, I mean, we joke on a lot, I particularly note on it, but as I said, for the most part, you just kind of get used to Fairy Tail is going to be ridiculously shameless. I enjoy a lot of the fan service in Food Wars, if only because it's so ridiculous and hilarious. It's really hard to take it seriously. And it's not as graphic or as extreme as, say, like Prison School fan service was at times. Like, it's not like you get people squatting over a screen or something like that. It's just like, you know, foodgasm faces and clothes ripping off. And it's just so silly in the premise that I guess it's hard to really take it seriously and be like, oh, this is attracting or anything like that. It's just mostly like, this is such a silly premise.
Well, I think that a lot of it has to do with time and place for everything, because even if you think of it in terms of lighthearted series like Fairy Tail, I think that it can actually really harm it. You know, you think about something that happened recently, in that you had Brandish cornering Lucy in her own home and threatening to crush her in that time, and basically you're wondering, okay, well, why the hell isn't she just doing it? Why is she actually hanging around here and stuff? Why isn't she just, you know, using her powers to kill everyone? And it's like, oh, it's because Lucy's perked her interest and so on and so forth, and it turns out she's got a connection to her mother. All this stuff is very dramatic, but they're both naked and sitting in Lucy's bathtub. Mm-hmm. Now, you compare that to somebody in Shokugeki no Soma ate some food, and it's so good that their clothes ripped off. It's not like, you know, in the middle of people being like, oh man, is the Polaris storm going to close? What's going to happen? People are marching up the gates. Azon is gonna have Soma expelled, and then suddenly Megumi comes in and you know.
Oh, my towel fell off!
Oh no, yeah. It's like, that doesn't happen. The fan service does happen, but I think that the most obtrusive example of it happening was Erina is hiding out in the Polaris storm. She went, she took a shower. And it was actually mostly tasteful, comparatively speaking. So, you got to realize there's a time and place for everything. There's actually a story I remember about this awful, like, zombie movie where, like, they had, like, barricaded themselves in this bunker, essentially. And they were, you know, hoping that the zombies, you know, would not break down the doors and come in and kill them all. So the female lead decided this was an appropriate time to go and have a sensual shower scene. You know, it's stuff like that. It's, you know, have an idea of what tone you're going for right now. If you're going to be like, oh, okay, this stuff's been pretty heavy, let's just break it up with some tits and ass. Well, Hiro does that. Oda's done that.
Almost every manga is going
to
do it.
But don't do it in the middle of the thing that's supposed to be dramatic. Mm-hmm. Or don't make a joke of a potentially dramatic scene. That's frustrating. Sorry.
And also goes a good deal in the benefit of the author if you also have interesting female characters as well. I think it's a lot more forgivable to see fan service. You're like, yeah, but the female character series aren't just there to be, you know, pinup models, essentially. If you can get invested in them otherwise, I think it's a lot.
Then you'll really want to fuck them.
Yeah, then you really want them to take their clothes off.
That's why so many people think Urza is so hot.
She's such a great character with so many layers. Ironic, because she doesn't wear many layers.
Ah, despite the fact she has the clothing-based ability. All right. So that I think that about covers it.
Yeah, I hope so.
More questions from Tropical. This is from November, so keep that in mind when I say this. In this week's Bleach chapter, we had a filler character from the anime Zanpakuto Rebellion arc show up all of a sudden. Do you think Kubo is somehow sad the anime was cancelled and grew nostalgic enough to put her in his manga? Well, from what I understand about it, Kubo actually, like, designed those characters, made those character designs for that filler arc and stuff. He was involved in the creative process. So I think it was just a matter of, like, well, might as well use them.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that's it. I think that, I mean, obviously, Kubo's not going to be happy that the anime is ended, because that means his, you know, manga doesn't sell as well, and he also doesn't basically just doesn't have as much stuff selling. and his manga isn't, you know, recognized as much. No one's going to be happy that, oh, the anime's over, unless it's like, well, that anime was a complete pile of shit and then it tainted my work, which I don't think he felt that way about it. But I don't think it was like, you know, oh, I pine for the days when that happened, so I'm going to use this design that was, you know, originally meant just exclusively for that. I think it was a matter of like, oh, I might as well use it.
Yeah, well, more or less. I'm sure if he already had it there, he's like, why not just take from that? It's kind of a cool nod to it anyway, to the, you know, anime exclusive arc.
Right. I mean, you know, if he came up with those designs originally and there was going to be a scene where they had the Sanbakuto spirits appear, why bother making new spirit designs? Nah. Mm-hmm. Second question. With the recent news of My Hero Academia getting an anime, what are your hopes for it? Are you looking forward to it? Do you want to see a particular studio work on it? A director? A voice cast? I'm sure that it will be good based on the trailer that we've gotten so far. All Might sounds pretty awesome. I will not watch it because I don't watch anime.
I might actually break my rule for this, though. I might actually catch it, if only because the soundtrack displayed in just that, like, 1 minute long preview is so epic and perfect that I may have to give it a shot. I know at this point now, when this question came out, we didn't know much about it, but at this point we know Studio Bones is doing it, so mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are excited. They're, you know, better than a lot of the companies that tend to get Shonen Jump anime, so it seems like they have a lot of faith in it. The animation that they show looks good. It's really just that music is so spot. I have like a really bad soft spot for hero music.
And yeah, you love the fuck out of Avengers themes and Captain America stuff, and yeah.
Yeah, anybody who listens to the weekly manga recap when I do like the pre-show, and I usually like start off with a song 9 times out of 10, it tends to be like a superhero theme or something like that. So I love that music, and I'm super excited to kind of see that in action. I mean, I don't know if I'll watch the entire series episode by episode, but I'll probably at least check the first episode out just to see how it is, and maybe if nothing else, I'll just listen to the OST.
And third question. Following that, with the debut of the New Hampshire Smash, what other attacks do you think All Might has themed after U.S. states, and what do you think it would best... what kind of attack do you think would best reflect your state? Florida Smash would be stomping on the dick.
Oh my gosh!
Because
it's so brutal.
Because one, it's the wang of the country, and two, that is how a Floridian would fight. We got a lot of assholes down here because you lot keep on sending them to us.
They're just the biggest cheaters, basically. Like they're nothing but fish hooks.
Just assholes.
I feel like. Because it wasn't always states. First one was Detroit Smash, wasn't it?
Yeah, so some of them are very important cities, yes.
So I feel like...
he's got more than 50 attacks.
Yeah, and I feel like what he'd do is he'd have Pittsburgh Smash and Philadelphia Smash. It'd basically be him punching with both fists, and when he does it, it creates a giant crater in the middle between the two, and that's the Pennsylvania Smash. It's just one big...
It just makes Pennsylvania...
big fucking crater... on the opposite side of two big fist marks that are important.
Well, there's nothing in that crater. Yeah, but my punches are on either side of it, and that's what's important.
Those were the big deal.
Oh, God. Okay, next email.
This is from Brawla. Brawla wants to thank us because we've helped her writing her own fantasy book. She's written over 137 pages by now, and I guess because of our podcast, she's learned how to develop her skills and criticize stories, and wants to thank us for all of that. So you're very welcome for any oddities we are able to do that ends up being an aid to you. And in regards, her question is, the thing is, I've started my book with a prologue which starts in media res into the action without much explanation. Do you have any advice on how I can introduce my readers into the story? I know it depends on what the story. I guess that my don't expose the readers with too much explanations and give them action instead prologue didn't work too much. So is it wrong to start a series or anything like that in media res, or give a more traditional answer, or more a traditional opening, I should say, rather.
Well, and also specifically, it seems that this is a fantasy book that she was writing, which I honestly don't have a lot of experience reading into that kind of stuff. Actually, I'm trying to remember the last fantasy book I read. Oh god, it's been a long time. Honestly, like, I know that you say, you know, it depends on the story and so on and so forth, blah blah blah. So, you know, you want some actual advice? I am not the kind of person. I'm not the person to get it from. Like, I cannot finish writing stuff. Like, I get an idea for something, I'm like, oh, I gotta write this down, and be like, and then I keep on thinking about it, and it's just like, yeah, this is getting way too out of hand. I don't know if I can actually write this. So then I don't. Like, aww. If I have an idea for something and it stays solid all the way through, it pops out and it tends to do pretty well. But if I actually think about it and, like, start to question and stuff, if I lose my momentum, I can't get through it. So, like, I'm not the kind of person that you should be asking about that. I like, don't follow my example, because my example is just, I managed to get through that one.
I did it this time. I don't want to, like, speak on the idea that I'm some literary source. It's not that I was a published author or anything like that. This is solely from the, you know, viewpoint of somebody who just enjoys a lot of media and critiques with the same credentials that I critique manga with, essentially. But I think, generally speaking, with fantasy series, it's better to introduce the readers in a hook that gets them invested in the story, as opposed to, basically, even though it may not make sense in context to them right now, they might be reading a lot of words that are strange to them. I feel like getting something out there that's interesting is going to hook them a lot more. This is just a personal opinion. Anytime I read a story that starts with, you know, like the first sentence is like, this is the world of blah, 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 and then starts to explain the
world. So roles. What you're saying is, don't write Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, no, I really, like, Lord of the Rings.
Honestly, kind of, Lord of the Rings is actually horribly written as a story, and that is because J.R.R. Tolkien did not write it as a story. He wrote it basically like as an explanation of like a fictional history. So yeah, I agree with you. Like, I think that it is best to just like kind of not necessarily like start in the middle of the action, but just kind of like hit the ground running, and then
look, like the first chapter of Game of Thrones starts with the White Walkers killing somebody.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, you're going to be like, wait, there are zombies in this thing? What's going on? Like, your readers
you're not going to be have explained to you for seasons.
Yeah, like, your readers are going to be confused. You just kind of have to accept that, because if you handhold them all the way through, I feel it's kind of, in one way, patronizing. Okay, you don't have the faith in your readers to just be able to take a leap of faith and follow along with your story, but it's also just boring more often than not, I feel. So, again, this is just my personal opinion on it. I'm not a college professor or even someone who's been to college enough to tell you whether this is a right decision or anything along those lines, but just from my personal opinion, I think it's better to just get a hook and get them interested and trust in your own writing abilities to keep them now, from there.
If you find yourself, and this is going to like go in actually a little into a little bit of sci-fi, if you find yourself, you know, using weird words that will require explanation, like, and then he used the Gerbil Flork, which Glackney, he's Benikalark. Don't do that.
I cannot. One of my biggest pet peeves in media, in any medium, is when it's a sci-fi series and it has like 12 fucking alien species that it just needs to tell you about one by one, and it's like the Global Plorp, which are strange bird-like aliens with four arms and very different from the Shigar, which are elephant-like men who walk with six legs. It's so, like, I'm just like, this is the most boring fucking thing in the world. Anybody can do what you're doing right now. I made up a funny word and I drew a creature that it takes no skill at all.
Wow.
I'm sorry, it just annoys the shit out of me. Anybody can do that.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, it is going to be difficult to, you know, introduce concepts in the middle of a story and explain them, but you got to try and find a balance of that, you know. It can be very hard depending on how foreign the concept is, but, you know, focus on basically interesting events in the story that you reader will want to read about, interesting characters and stuff. If you have concepts that are weird, then, you know, worry about them second. And don't put them all over your story. This is my question next.
Yes.
This comes from Andre. Dear Nick and Chris, which sounds like the crazier crossover idea? Bleach in One Piece, or Fairy Tail in One Piece, or World Trigger in Food Wars? Well, based on my reaction, World Trigger in Food Wars.
Yeah. I feel like
they're probably the most normal characters, honestly, but by simple virtue of the fact that it's not two battle series crossing over.
Yeah, I mean, they're both examples of, like, weird crossovers, because at least the one thing going on with World Trigger and Food Wars... Actually, no, I'm sorry, I thought it was...
It's Bleach in One Piece.
Fairy Tail in One Piece, or World Trigger. Okay, I thought it was Fairy World. Fairy Tale and Food
Fairy
Wars.
Fairy World.
No, World Trigger and Food Wars, yeah, probably the worst. Because that's not even... I was going to say, at least Fairy Tail, they're kind of both, like, a little bit silly, but I don't feel like that's the same kind of silly that World Trigger has that would blend with Food Wars kind of style. I feel like World Trigger is a little bit more serious, so yeah, I think those would probably be the worst, like, weird combination. I mean, Fairy Tail and One Piece, you're basically like, hey, would you combine One Piece with One Piece? Like, sure.
Yeah, that's just kind of like, well, I'm pretty sure that if they weren't owned by different companies, that would probably already happen.
Yeah.
Alright, there you go.
Boosh. Question here from Name Withheld. If you could make a rough prediction, how many more years would you estimate each of the series you cover in the recap portion of the podcast will last?
This is going to be really hard for some.
Yeah. Nick, how much longer do you think Black Clover and World Trigger are going to go on?
How much longer is My Hero Academia going to go on, considering it is probably going to be the next big Shonen Jump hit? I have no clue on those. All right, in terms of the ones that have been going on for a while, Nisekoi is probably going to end soon. Bleach, we know, is going to end relatively soon, depending on how long it takes Kubo to finish this fucking arc. So for those, I would say they will definitely be done within 2 years. I'm not going to say they'll be done within a year, because I really feel like, you know, I can't nail that down. People have been saying, like, oh, Nisekoi's going to definitely be done next year. Bleach is definitely going to be done next year. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, the cast is getting whittled down in Bleach, but Jubba could always summon more. His final battle could always last more than half a year, like Aizen's.
That's really the big key of it, too. Like, I want to say Bleach would end, but you look at this past year of Bleach, and you're like, holy crap, nothing happened, basically. Like, it's been a year of very little actual development, and that could easily be the same case come next year. So
yeah,
that could take 2 years.
Keep in mind the stuff that we got to get done, like, in terms of, like, what would have to happen within the next calendar year in order for it to finish within a year. You would have to have, you have to finish up the fight with Illyubara, which isn't going to take too much longer. It didn't finish this week, it'll probably be done next week, maybe the week after. Then you've got Askinaklevar and Valkyria. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Jugo. Then you've got whatever they're going to do with Ishida. And then you've got Yuhabak himself. Given how long the fights with the other members of the Big Four have lasted, that's probably going to be 4 months at least spent on Askinaklevar and Valkyria. And I don't think that you can say, oh, Hashwalt and Yuhabak are definitely going to be defeated in 8 months.
Yeah, it's a bit of a daunting prediction.
So that one's going to last probably, you know, another, probably more than a year, but should be done within two. Nisekoi, it seems like you're getting kind of closer, but who knows, you know.
They could always introduce a new girl at this point.
Right. One Piece could go on for fucking ever.
we could be dead by the time One Piece ends. I'll be kind of bummed, not because I won't get to see the end of One Piece, but I'll be like, seriously, fucking Oda outlived me? I really thought I was taking care of myself at this point.
Considering he kills himself to write that thing. Fairy Tail, It actually seems closer to the end than One Piece does at this point. Even though it's like, oh, this is the final battle. Well, I have my doubts about that. But it at least, you know, there does seem to be an end point in sight. You know, we actually have, like, you know, our two big major antagonists, and they are in operation right now. So there is, like, a goal in mind for the series to work towards, which is more than can be said for most of the over 400 chapters before this point. Mm-hmm. So that it seems like, okay, you know, maybe give that, like, 3 years. Maybe four. I don't know. It'll still take a while, I think. Mm-hmm. And that about covers it in terms of the stuff that it is reasonable to predict.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Yeah, I guess those are basically it.
Yeah. Okay. So it's
my Jerko. Question. Yep.
All right. This is from Zephyrman, right?
Yeah. I think it's from Grizzly, I believe.
I can't remember.
I think he was called Axeman for a while.
Okay.
I think we showed
he changes his name a lot.
I think we showed him his name, so we changed it.
Aww.
He's like, you fucks.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, first question. When do you think it is a good time to give a character's backstory? I agree with people like Extra Credits Crew and Plague of Gripes that you need to make a character interesting first, then give them a backstory. One of the reasons I didn't care about Bazzy's backstory is he wasn't all that interesting. That is a problem that I've had with a lot of Bleach recently, is the fact that in lieu of, you know, getting to know a character now, we, you know, have basically been like, okay, there they are. And it's time for them to die, so here's their backstory. You know, so there are some that, you know, you make an immediate attachment to, and so you're fine with that, but it's like, well, I didn't get to see any of what they did, so I don't know if, like, this backstory doesn't actually explain anything to me. It doesn't explain anything because there were no actions that I can now look back on and be like, oh, that explains the way they acted this way and stuff, because they didn't do anything. I didn't get to know their personality or any shit like that. When is the best time to give a character's backstory? I don't know.
A little bit after they're introduced, or a long time after they're introduced. I mean, look at One Piece. We have characters who get introduced, like, you know, Chopper, who gets his backstory relatively quickly after he gets introduced. We have Robin, who got it, like, 4 years after she was introduced, and that, you know, both of them I still think are just as invested, you know, and interesting to kind of go through. I think you just need to give reasons to kind of look back on things, or just have a really compelling story to tell. In the case of the former, look at World Trigger recently. Didn't even have a flashback, but it instantly made Kitora more interesting on the basis of, like, oh, this explains more things about her just from you telling us she had these things going on.
Because we had seen how she had acted over the course of 2 years.
Yeah, and it was interesting in and of itself to do it. I mean, there are times where you can have a character who's kind of boring, and then you reveal, like, oh, no, they had an interesting backstory, and, you know, maybe what they're doing now is just an act or something like that. That can work from time to time again, but generally speaking, it's just good to give characters develop personality traits and then kind of go from there. And, you know, maybe you do want to give them I guess the way I should say it...
And some characters also work in terms of putting the backstory first. Like, you know, series like Attack on Titan, where you see Eren and Mikasa's kids, and their mother gets killed, and that affects Eren. He swears vengeance against the Titans and stuff, and so then he goes through the, you know, they kick the training and stuff to become a member of the Scouts and so on and so forth. And then you wind up with him as a teenager, and you can see, you know, why he's acting the way that he is and so on. You know, classic way of doing Spider-Man is to put the, you know, origin story first, or a lot of superheroes for that matter.
Yeah.
But you should not, you know, do nothing, have a backstory, now they're dead.
That's the big thing I was going to say. The number one thing to avoid...
Don't do Bleach!
Or just, even if it's not even killing them, just don't put a backstory at the point where that character is no longer relevant. Because that's just, immediately, it's just like, why did I... Like, what's the point of this, then?
And it's not even a matter of, you know... I'm not saying, like, don't put their backstory before they die. Because, to use an Amaga example, Snape's backstory was put in right before he died. Or even after he died, for that matter.
Snape died?
Yeah, shut up.
I've only watched the fourth movie.
Shut up. So, you know, you had gotten to know him.
What does Dumbledore think about this?
He's dead, too. You had gotten to know him over the course of several movies and stuff. You had gotten to know his personality, and then the backstory revealed a different side of him. It's not that there was nothing there, and then the backstory explains everything. It's there's something there, and then the backstory puts a different viewpoint on it. You know, don't do that. You know, I mean, I say don't be Bleach, but honestly, like, anytime you've got nothing and then you're about to just drop the nothing character, that is a bad time to suddenly go, but you should have cared about them!
That's annoying.
I mean, imagine, you know, Fairy Tale did the same thing. Like, you know, have one
Wendy's
of these...
Guild.
Yeah! Like, it was fucking... God damn it!
There was no build-up to it. It was just, we're all dead, and we've been ghosts protecting you, so go have fun with your
like,
friends.
Like, just had a fucking, like, passing mention. It's like, oh, yeah, they raised me. It's like, it's not, like, informing anything about her, though. You know? It's just like, well, we've got to have an excuse for them for her to join Fairy Tale. Now, her family didn't exist. So, you should feel sad, but also not feel sad... because they weren't actually real the whole time, so you shouldn't act... Wendy's in Fairy Tale, and now I can draw underage panty shots. Shut up. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think we covered.
Next question. I will start this with a comparison. The New Day, wrestling stable, for those of you who don't know, went from being the most hated tech team, I don't know about that, to the greatest because they turned heel, and they're just great. So my question is, if a character you hated changed their alignment to be different, would you potentially like them more? Example, for me, Sasuke as a straight villain would be better than that anti-hero thing he was. Someone who the villains changed to hero or hero to villain. Alright, changing allegiance does not necessarily make you a better character. It is an opportunity to do a different take on the character or present them in a different light, and that, you know, can offer the potential for new stuff, but just changing the allegiance does not, or the alignment does not necessarily automatically be, oh yeah, they would definitely be better.
I mean, even in the example he gives of Sasuke going villain, I feel like that's not necessarily the same thing, because it would almost be like you're changing the character then at that point. And I'm not really certain if it's really the same thing you're comparing them, because in wrestling, our fucking Skype went crazy there. No, Skype, come back. I was in the middle of a point. Now I look crazy. Technical difficulties, guys. That's my real phone when we switched to video. Nick.
Oh, hello.
There we go. No, I was saying, like, in wrestling, when somebody switches allegiance, it's generally not much of a huge change. Like, I haven't watched wrestling in a very long time, but New Day really didn't start doing all that much different. They just...
Oh, yes, they did.
Well, they eventually started to embrace being shitheads.
Right.
And being annoying. But a lot of the... I'm trying to think of the best way to kind of... Actually, you know what? I'm going to go with this way instead. I think it helps when a boring good guy turns heel and makes himself more interesting. And I don't think there are many cases I can really note that in manga, because most characters that I find boring tend to be the main character. If they switch and turn evil, it's really not going to work.
Right. I mean, changing alignment does not necessarily make you a better character if you were not a good one to begin with. And that happens in wrestling, too. You know, sometimes a guy's not working out, so they're like, let's turn them heel. Turn them face. Let's change them from being a good guy to a bad guy, or a bad guy to a good guy, because what they are right now is not working. So let's do the other thing. And that will fix them. Well, not necessarily. If they're shit, they're shit. You know, some are not good at
either. Can you say you're much more invested in Ryback since he went face, Nick?
Well, no. Okay. I have strong feelings about that. We're not going to do a wrestling talk in full... Let me put it this way. Eva
Nick,
Marie...
who do you think should be Cruiserweight Champion?
Eva Marie sucked as a face and sucks as a heel. She's bad at both. That's why everyone hates her. Anyway, sometimes a character just isn't good, you know? It doesn't have to do with whether they're good or bad, okay? I mean, now, if you change the alignment, that is an opportunity to present them in a different light. But just doing it doesn't necessarily make them better. So, I mean, yeah, there's potential for me to like them more, but it is definitely not a necessity. It would definitely have to depend on what you do with the character after they change. And honestly, like, a lot of manga characters, if you were to, like, what if they were evil, or what if they were good? You would have to change a lot of things about them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are some that's like, there are some very particular examples. It's like, okay, I can see them turning their back on that person, and I think that would be interesting because of, you know, this existing resentment stuff. You know, a lot of, like, rival characters, like, you know, what if Bakugo in My Hero Academia became a villain? I think that could be very interesting because, you know, he wants recognition and he's got that, you know, antagonism towards Deku and so on and so forth. But it's not just a matter of like, oh, he should definitely turn evil.
So, yeah. Just a thought, because the most examples I can think of and you know, wrestling or outside of it, is when a character goes from being a good guy to a bad guy. And that usually gets them more interested because they aren't beholden to necessarily doing good guy actions. Can you think of many good examples of a bad guy who became a good guy and that made them more interesting?
If we're going to talk wrestling?
Let's get out of wrestling.
Get out of wrestling?
Yeah, let's go out of wrestling.
Because
I can feel Infamous groan. I can hear him groaning from fucking England.
Let's see here. Good guys became bad guys who became good guys became more interesting when they became good guys.
Vegeta's actually not a bad example.
Although
do you become more
that is definitely a base breaker, I think, for a lot of people, because I think a lot of people were like, oh, he was so much better as a villain. But honestly, like, Vegeta went through a lot of growth after he became a good guy. I think it's difficult because people will say that is spikification, to quote the tropes term.
Mm-hmm.
Because Spike was this awful, evil, bad guy, but then he became a good guy, so he had to get a lot softer, and so he lost a lot of the characterization that, you know, people that had made him such a bastard to begin with. But yeah, let's see. Boring bad guys. Well, that's hard, because, like, usually when bad guys, like, turn good, it's because people like them and want them to stick around, but they can't if they're bad.
Bellamy was an example I saw in the chat, though I'm not sure if what we've seen of him since then is super interesting enough to say it's a like a full interest, like a better turn. Because he kind of served his purpose as a bad guy, just to be a mocking dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's kind of served both roles just fine.
Orochimaru. people are talking about Green Ranger. Okay, yeah, I can see that. I mean, Tommy was the most popular Power Ranger. But again,
that's a situation.
People loved him as a villain, though.
Yeah, but I'm like, nobody disliked him as a villain. Like, it's not like they were like, "Oh, this guy's not
villains." Villains that are not popular do not stick around to become good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's actually wow. Wrestling is like the only example where that happens. It was like, well, we're stuck with you. You're under contract. We might as well turn you into a good guy.
You're the hero of this story, so I guess.
Interesting. Third question. Is there a character who you think has been pushed too far to care about what they do? Mm-hmm. For me, it's Mayuri. Kuba pushed him way too far into mad science to the point where he is unintentional self-parody. It doesn't help that he is manga Joseph Mengele. I'm right there with Mayuri. I'm fucking sick of him. I was sick of him a while ago, honestly. Jeez, other characters that you see too much of. Sasuke, of course, was but, you know, that series is dead now, basically. So, I don't know.
Mayuri's the one I'd kind of go with, so.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So, we got another set of questions from Tropical. you really sent in like 17, so I appreciate that, good sir. The first one, that was basically kind of a redo of the My Hero reference. This was after the Studio Bones was announced, and is basically just asking what we look for in an announcement. I think I'm going to go off on a limb and say neither of us care because we don't really watch anime. So I'm going to move on to the second question, which is still kind of like, I don't know how we'll be able to answer this. Are you opposed or in favor of an anime original ending for anime adaptations?
Well, sometimes you have to do it. I mean,
oh, I guess when I read this, I thought it was like, you make up a song for the end of the show. I was like, yeah, I mean, why not?
Well, they always do that, though.
No, don't they always just grab a song that's out there in pop culture?
They basically...
Well, not like
they help to promote them, honestly. Like, a lot of them are released in conjunction with the anime, or they're either very recent, or they like working in conjunction with the studio. They find something that people are working on. I don't know all the details, but they do... Music is very important to anime, basically. In terms of, like... As for the actual question,
I'm like, wait, it's not like WrestleMania where Big Time wasn't made for it. They're like, Big Time was a Peter Gabriel hit like 20 years before WrestleMania.
Big Time. Anyway, I think it is awkward at certain points. Like the example the Tropical gives is like, you know, Bleach and Rurouni Kenshin had to come up with their own ending points because the manga was still going and the anime was going to end. Inuyasha had to do that for a while, which was really weird because, you know, But I think it can be interesting because, I mean, I don't care enough about anime to really care that they're like, oh, but the story's not really over, though. It's like, oh, I guess I'll just read the manga if I liked it then. But I think it can be interesting to see, like, what you know, new notes the adaptation can leave off on. Because, I mean, like, sometimes the different stuff that an anime does can be interesting. Sometimes it's awful. Like, everything that Aisho 21 ever did that was different from the manga. But sometimes it can be like, oh, that's a nice way of looking at it, I think.
Well, in reference to even Eyeshield didn't really have an original ending. It just ended at a different point, but some would say it was almost a more appropriate point to end the series. I didn't get to the Christmas.
And then they made it to the playoff, to the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure they did.
But it is also.
No muscles of a black man to make them despair in that ending.
No big African fucking 4.1 monsters there.
No 7-foot-tall Indian guy named Tatanka.
So racist. But no, it's just the notion of like it ended at a different point, so maybe it can give you a different appreciation. I don't know though. Sure, give them an original ending. I guess it gives a reason to watch the anime as opposed to just reading the manga if you're not someone who's just like, I just don't want to read manga, I'd rather watch anime. But other than that, nah, not really. I mean, go for whatever you want. If the series is there and you've been basing your entire series off of what this person has written before, I feel like it's kind of weird to be like, all right, now we're just gonna have some other person write the rest of the story for them. It's like the weird thing I have with Full Metal Alchemist between Brotherhood, where I'm like, eventually someone came in to just write this that was not the mangaka, and it's a very different story because it doesn't inherently make it bad. It's just very strange to me because it's clearly not the way the author was intending. Like, in both versions, Bradley is a villain, but he's a completely different villain in both, you know?
In terms of ability, in terms of motivation, and so on. Next.
And I'm sorry, this, yeah. With My Hero Academia getting an anime, the only series in English Shonen Jump without an animated adaptation of any kind is Black Clover. Now, with the sort of popularity the series has, do you think it has a chance of getting an announcement also in a year like Black Clover, in a year like My Hero Academia did? If so, what do you hope to get? Stuff that we're not going to be able to talk about because we don't care. I'm like, oh...
Stop asking us anime questions. I swear to fucking God, I'll hunt you down and kill you, Trouble. No,
he's like, all right, next question. Nick, when's the next Wild Red Brought to Life coming out?
Oh my God, fuck off.
You know what? I would not be surprised if next year it gets an adaptation. Well, it might take a little bit longer than it. It's not lighting the world on fire, but then again, World Trigger's kind of been at the same spot, and it got an announcement within about a year or two, so I don't know if I'd expect one next year, but maybe like early 2017 or something like that. Maybe it'll get
it is definitely mainstream enough. Like, in general, like, the Jump series that haven't gotten them so far are stuff like Isobei, or what is the one called? Hinamaru Uzumo? You know, ones that, you know, it's understandable why they haven't gotten one. It's like, well, he wants to watch this, you know, sumo kid or whatever. Which, not to shun that series, I've heard it's very good. I haven't read it yet. But I'm just saying, like, you know, you see, like, sports series get adapted because there's always going to be a place for them. You see action adventure ones get adapted and so on and so forth. Generally, pure humor ones, not so much. Black Clover is a high fantasy action series with humorous tone. I'm sure that soon enough
it will get an animation if it sticks around for that long, which I'm sure it will.
Yeah, I heard somebody trying to say that it was doing really bad in the rankings, but I looked up the rankings and it's doing just fine. It's like in the middle of the
color page. It got a color page this week. That means it's not doing bad.
Yeah, so, it's probably going to be around for a while, which I'm sure makes quite a lot of people happy. And you know what? I'll be looking forward to seeing where it goes. If it gets an anime, though, I'll tell you right now, I'm probably not going to watch it. Unless it has a really awesome, it has a super awesome superhero soundtrack for some reason, then no, I'm probably not going to.
No. It's like, but you gotta see all the different ways they play with Noelle's weird skirt. No, I don't.
Yeah, they really have to work around that thing. Don't worry, it's not sexualized. Open up Black Clover this week. Mm-hmm.
God damn it. I'm not looking forward to all this. This one comes from Wensleydale Incognito. First question is, how many Gomu Gomus can Kubo stretch his last arc?
We've already technically answered this one. Next question.
Red is the answer. Two, if you could form a pirate crew made out of Channel Awesome producers, former ones as well, would take which position? No!
There's so many... All right, look, I'll play a little bit into it. I can't possibly go in through all of this. There's so much.
Sketch is the musician.
Well, no, I feel like Todd would have to be.
No, Sketch.
Yeah, I guess Sketch. But I feel like that was like my spot for Todd. I don't know where the fuck... All right, Todd's captain, then he got promoted. Linkar can be navigator, because that seems like a nerdy fucking Star Trek-esque position that he'd be... But they have navigators in Star Trek.
Why can't I be the captain, guys?
Yeah, he can wear his pips and all that stuff. He'll be all over that. I'll be first mate, and I don't care about the rest. All right, we're good.
We're the captain and vice captain. Fuck everyone.
Yeah. Sean could be cook, because I have to assume fat guys know how to cook, right?
That's so mean.
And, I feel like it's got it.
Oh, God. All right. Okay. In a Heaven on Earth manga... Oba of Death Note writes the story. Oda of One Piece draws the backgrounds. Kubo of Bleach designs the characters. Komi of Nisekoi draws their expressions. Shimabukuro of Toriko builds the world. And Kishimoto of Naruto does the battles. And Ashihara, World Trigger, does the element of strategy. Tsukuda of Shokugeki no Soma does the fan service. And Hero Fairy Tail provides the energy to work. That is a fucking amazing idea.
Now, I get what this is based on. There was
the question is, what would it be like in the Hell on Earth manga?
There's an image that floated around a while back. I just posted in the chat. It's of what would games be like in heaven and hell, and it's like the notion like stories are written by Obsidian, the dialogue's written by BioWare, cutscenes are by Square Enix, and then the hell version is basically like, oh, the stories are written by Square Enix, the cutscenes are by Capcom.
All around and stuff.
Yeah. So basically, if you were to take the same kind of...
What would the Hell on Earth one be? Yes.
Oda
would provide the energy to work, because that poor man.
I feel like Ashihara would be the energy to work, because guy is, like, sick and constantly... He's in the hospital right now, or I don't know if he's right now, he's out, but there's not going to be a chapter next week because he was in the hospital.
Oba would do the fan service. Kubo would do the backgrounds...
Let's get, can we not use the
same
people
twice?
No,
let's flip this around. Oba, I actually trust in his ability to do fan service more than I do Shimabukuro. Let's do Shimabukuro on fan service.
Yeah, I was like, are there fan service in Toriko? Besides
There was that one scene with Melk in the bath, and Rin does have big boobs, but mostly it's just shirtless men. So people will be like, oh yeah, fan service, and it'll be like just giant muscular men, and they'll be like, this isn't the type of fan service I want. Shimabukuro was like, too bad, friendship.
Suck it.
They're eating together while naked.
I feel like four of these would just be Kubo though, because I feel like you can't have anyone but Kubo on Element of Strategy because his series is essentially devoid of it.
Let's see. Honestly, I guess Tsukuda would do the battles because honestly, everyone else like
most of them are good.
Yeah, you could say like, oh, Komi of Nisekoi. Have you seen like the battle stuff that he does? He's good at it.
I guess like all right, let's put Ashihara on art because I think almost everyone would agree that's probably one of World Trigger's weakest elements is not having a very distinct art style.
No, I think it's great.
I think it's good, but it's just not. I mean, compared but, to like you know, the fact that almost everyone else in there is really good art.
Okay,
like,
wait. I've got it. We've got different art categories here, so we'll do Ashihara on expressions.
Okay.
So we've got V-face.
All V-faces for everything.
Yeah. V-face and duck face for everything. So should we got
Shinobu? Ooh, and then put Komi then on the actual rest of the characters, because like his main strat, like awesomeness, is his ability to create really engaging characters through like animation and still image, but without expressions, they're all gonna look stupid anyway. So
it doesn't matter. Yeah. You know? So that's like our cheat on it, because Komi is a great artist, but without the typical patient. Okay, yeah, it'll be ruined by the duck face. Actually, it doesn't really matter who we put on design, because it'll be ruined by the duck face. Okay. All right. Honestly, that's it's kind of difficult to put Oda somewhere then, because
I'm like, Oda builds the world. I was like, ah, that's amazing.
Never yeah, you see it, that Oda does the story. I like that though. Oda does the element of strategy.
Maybe Oda does the fan service, because his fan service is usually
it's
rather
just all the same stuff.
Yeah, it's like just blatant and awkward.
We've come up with most of it. I think you'll agree.
Yeah.
Here, let's see. Where would
did we give someone for story? Because I feel like
Hiro. All
right. I'm almost wondering if Kishimoto might be better on that.
Or worse, you mean?
Yeah.
It's hard to put some of these people because there are some that are just like we've found the ones that are like definitely be the worst possible option. But then it's like, well, that would be the only possible thing that we could put some of these guys.
I would say put Kishimoto on story. Put Hiro on builds the world, because Hiro's world is like a blank thing that just exists around the characters. There's probably other cities.
There was a country, by the way, 450 chapters in.
It's all taking place on a continent that's really important. There's another one. It's, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so we've got Kishimoto One Story. We've got that there is still going to be stuff like, you know, where does that leave like Oba? Where does that leave this and that? It was like, but we've figured out some pretty awful options on here, so I think that we have pretty much figured out how this would go. And finally, if the Straw Hats were mangaka, what kind of series would they write? Well, Luffy wouldn't actually write anything.
It would just be pictures of him punching people, I guess, he's forced to draw. Yeah. Like, this is my manga.
It's my fist, and it's just like the same. It's like copy pasted him punching the same image of him punching. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that thing where it's like, you know, what the series used to be and what the series is now.
Yes,
you know, it's just like Bleach. It's like, oh, fun adventures of Ichigo cutting stuff, and then it just turns into, you know, Super Saiyans holding swords. You know, but One Piece is, you know, Luffy running around punching Buggy, and while, you know, Chopper appears in the corner, and then the panel next to it is Luffy running around punching Caesar Clown, and Brook appears in the corner. Like, it's the exact same thing. So, yeah, it's basically that, just Luffy copy-pasting the same pose, punching, and then a different person on every single panel that he is punching.
Zoro's would just be a manga of different swords. There wouldn't be a plot. It would just be swords.
Yeah.
Nami would write the most stereotypical bullshit shonen series that would just be highly profitable and just make a lot of money.
Oh, very good, yeah.
Usopp is actually a very good artist, so he'd actually probably write a really engaging battle series that just doesn't take off.
I think that he would actually do something and completely miss the point of it. I remember when he designed the climate act, and he thought,
it was supposed to be a party.
He would come up with this incredibly engaging story that he thinks is just actually a bunch of funny jokes. Like, he prides himself on his humor, but it's like Hokuto no Ken, but the dialogue is stupid puns, but people read every chapter and are crying by the end of it from how amazingly dramatic it is. And people are like, oh, you guys like my manga? Yes! It's funny, huh? What are you talking about?
I guess Sanji would draw Food Wars. He'd do his version
of Food Wars.
But exactly. It would just be porn.
You've already seen Sanji's manga.
Chopper would just be something.
Okay, well, Sanji would do the X-rated version.
Yeah, it would be the version where he's like, you're not Shonen Jump, and you could just have her fucking actually orgasm into the food.
He would basically do the hentai doujinshi that Tosh has probably drawn of his own series.
Chopper would be like, as Shonen Jack actually kind of put it, Chopper would be a self-insert Chopper Man manga, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
Cute series. Robbins would be like some series nobody gets because you're like, what is this?
It's like super dark and goth or something.
Is this a dark horror? Is this a cutesy? Like, it'd be a really cutesy series, which is the most morbid and depressing.
Like, the main character is like a cutesy vampire girl who's.
No, a rabbit. An adorable rabbit. But the rest of it is Shingeki fucking no Kyojin. Like, it's just bleak and shitty.
Like, this adorable bunny rabbit. And with a little bit of, like, a punk goth kind of look. Mm-hmm. Going around, hopping from place to place, being happy. And then kidnapping people and torturing them in the basement.
Frankie would just write One Piece. And Brooke would write a gag manga, and eventually people are like, this was great for the first few chapters, and eventually like, does this do anything?
Starring himself.
Does this go anywhere?
I was actually thinking maybe he would do Soul Catchers.
Which one is Soul Catchers? Is that the musical?
It's about a conductor and how music has the power to catch people's hearts, basically.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that. There we go.
That was fun. That was fun. Good question, actually. Yeah, I like that.
Let me go to the next one here. No name here, but this says, how are you guys? Hope you're doing well. I know that Nick is a fan of Yu-Gi-Oh! The card game, so I want to ask you, what are your thoughts on Floodgates?
I believe I know what you're talking about.
Do you believe they help lower tier decks compete against the meta, or do you believe they limit options and make Yu-Gi-Oh! Less fun?
I'm going to look this up so I understand the terminology you're using, because I admit I'm not familiar with it, but I'll look it up while we're answering the second question. How about?
Was there a second question in here?
There is a second. Oh, that's just a recommendation.
It's a theory. This says a theory, a world trigger theory. I don't think Inadera has told Border correct information when he says the trigger that created Afkator requires one powerful Trion user. I think that Afkator's trigger only needs a certain amount of Trion to run, and it doesn't matter from how many sources. It's just as society evolved, it came to believe that multiple sacrifices were wrong, and instead believed in only sacrificing one individual. Kind of like how Predestination has fallen out of favor in Protestant doctrine as Western society grew less elitist. So, the notion being that Afkator doesn't actually need a golden goose or anything like that. It could really just get a shit ton of people and basically supply it that way, which I think is what they kind of noted before, because that's presumably why they kidnapped the C-rank people. They kind of took anyone they could, because they can use these to fuel their god.
Maybe that will be the thing. I don't know. Alright, I was actually completely wrong about what I thought the term floodgate meant. What a floodgate is basically it's this continuous effect on the field that will severely hamper both players and essentially remove an element from the game. For example, there's a card called Skill Drain, where basically it's a permanent trap and you pay 1,000 life points to activate it, and while it's up on the field, all monsters on the field have their effects negated. All of them. Necro Valley is a popular one because it prevents people from accessing the graveyard and so on and so forth. There are a number of different cards which remove cards from the game when they're supposed to be sent to the graveyard. Basically, it's this card that removes an element from the game, and so if a deck is dependent on that, then it completely shuts it down. Honestly, I think that cards like that are... I'm totally fine with people using them that way to help hamper, as he points out, upper tier decks, meta decks and so on and so forth. Because, I mean, like, it's really fun to see someone try and play Lightsworn if they've got no graveyard, for example. Stuff like that. But I think they're more interesting not when you just, like, okay... like, one of my pet peeves is actually... Little City. This was basically this hero deck where it's just like you get these beat down hero cards and you prevent your opponent from summoning anything. And you just have your giant monsters that are easy to summon punch the opponent's little monsters in the face because they can't use their little monsters to summon big monsters. I think it's just kind of stupid. It does make the game less fun in that case. I like decks that are built around those cards, but in a way that actually requires the cards to work together, as opposed to just like I'm going to grab you and going to dig my heels in and slow the game down. It makes the game boring. I mean, sometimes it's the best way to win. Some football games are like that. this is a really super powerful offense we're getting up against, so we're going to run the ball on every play.
Yeah, well,
it's super boring, but it works, you know? So I think if you can come up with a way to use cards like that in a fun way, and sometimes you can, because, you know, Macrocosmos was originally meant to, like, work together with other cards and, you know, like, remove cards from the game and then use those cards for a purpose and stuff like that. But, yeah, I don't know. I've got, like, mixed feelings about it, I guess, is the short way of answering it. All right, next question from Lion-kun. Who, in your opinion, is the most attractive female character in One Piece? And no saying, but no cheating by saying a dude or an Okama. Let's see here.
Most attractive. I mean, I guess, like, early Nami.
Early Nami was, like,
kinda cute. I don't think of One Piece characters, I guess, in that.
You're so used to just, like, well, that's an Oda female character kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess I just think, like, not early Nami, before she got, like, enormous tits, was just more visually interesting compared to everything else in One Piece, which is when just a giant pair of tits with legs.
Or at the very least, when she wore more normal clothing.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't mind when she changed her outfits up. I think it's always kind of nice to see different outfits and characters. Mm-hmm. But, no, I think, like, we'll go with, like, Arlong Park to, like, Alabasta Nami. I guess that's maybe the best. I don't really have, like... There's certainly never any that I'm like, this chick's so super hot or anything like that. That just, I guess, if I didn't need an answer, I guess that is stage of Nami just because it's a different kind of look.
This is a little difficult because, like,
girlfriend's listening, like, what are you going to say, Nick?
Well, the reason it's difficult is because, you know, we point out a lot of Oda's, you know, women are drawn the same way and stuff. I guess I would say Tashigi. I like the glasses, I like the whole, you know, determined swordswoman thing and stuff. So.
I can see that, yeah. Like it. And she is a character kind of different. Actually, yeah, Shonen Jack may have brought up Water 7 Nami with the tie. I've always had a thing for women wearing ties.
Really?
Yeah, it's just something like, it's a very sexual look to it. I don't know why how to explain it. A very attractive look to it.
Huh. Okay. Second question. This one is just for Chris. If it were the zombie apocalypse and you had to pick between Scotia or Nick, who has no arms or legs, who would you pick?
This is referencing the Super Larius Brothers podcast where my sister posed the question.
I hadn't seen this email before, so when I saw this reference, I thought it was so great.
where my sister posed the question to my brother and I, what, in a zombie apocalypse, who would you rather take, Christopher, me, with no arms or legs, or her dog Hershey, which is a small little pug that barks at everything? It is a fucking pointless question, because that dog is literally nothing but a nuisance, whereas I, even with no arms and legs, could at least be backup or, like, a lookout or something. I'm not going to be
very
helpful.
You're talking purely in pragmatic terms.
Yeah, like, just pragmatic terms. Also, it's kind of dark to be like, well, I'd let you die, my brother, as opposed to this dog.
A fucking dog.
Yeah, you're fucking
I'm
dog.
I'm sorry, I know people care for their pets and stuff. Unless your sibling is a piece of shit, you pick them over that dog.
In this case, I think I'd have to
When your sibling dies, you don't go to your parents and say, can I have another?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think in this situation, the answer is still Nick. There's just much more use you can get out of a person. I think this one maybe is up for a little bit of debate, because at least Scotia is like a decent-sized dog. That you're like, okay, maybe this can be used to be helpful. Zombie apocalypse.
Also, it is your dog as opposed to someone you care about's dog.
Yeah.
And also, I'm not your brother. I'm just your friend.
Oh, infamous! It's not even a question. I would take the dog. that's not even. That's like the anti point. What do you provide in the zombie apocalypse, infamous? Nothing. You have no idea how to do anything in a world that doesn't cater to having an internet at your disposal. Like, if there's a... If we're trying to...
The zombies get through the gate! Oh, I can't be bothered trying to stop them.
Well, it's not even like that. It's like, hey, there's a hole in the gate. Patch it up. How do you do that? Like, oh, hey, the car's not working. Can you check that? Well, what do you want me to do? He doesn't know any of that stuff.
Is there a way I can do it while being cruel to children?
he does get all of his sick satisfaction in having children who are probably going to be dying all around.
Infamous, hold off the zombies! No, I don't want to. They're all women! Alright!
Someone's going to stop them! But yeah, no, I would take...
I like that question better. Thank you, Infamous Planet. That's a much more entertaining question.
Yes,
Straw has got questions. Go
yes,
ahead.
For Mr. Ginger, got a couple questions here. Chris, if you could implant the cast from Phoenix Wright into any of the ongoing series, what would be, what would the story be about? So, implanting the cast of Phoenix Wright into an ongoing series, I guess the only one they'd really, maybe One Piece. Like, maybe they go to an island and there's like a pirate attorney, and they have to go to like a pirate court. That'd be kind of wacky and funny. Other than that, I guess the only series they'd really fit into that wouldn't be crazy awkward would be like, I guess they could go into My Hero as well. But other than that, I guess Food Wars. But I One Piece is probably the most fitting kind of thing. Nick, if you could take Fran from Frank and Fran and stick her in Bleach, which character would you like to see her perform a surgery on with her trademark twist that makes the surgery a bad idea in the first place?
Mayuri.
Mayuri, what would she do?
What wouldn't she do? There's so, because that guy like has performed so many surgeries on himself, then it's just like, well, just pick something, you know, and then see him try and work his way out of it, and then he can't. I'm sorry, I just
okay.
I went to my happy place for a bit.
To both, if you can make the ultimate rival team for the Damon, what's that?
Do you know how many people are on a football team?
The ultimate rival team for the Damon Delabats out of characters from other series, who would it be, and who from Delabats would be their rival? This is ultimately, maybe on another time we could have answered this. This is a really long question.
There are so many multi-part choose, you know, a cast of... Stop it.
Yeah, I think maybe this is one. Submit it next time, maybe we can answer it. It's at this point where it's like, we're on November 4th's questions. Because we
did
going.
Get a lot of questions at the beginning of the month, at least. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're... Jeez,
It's a little bit of a long one. And also, if your ongoing manga series were to be compared to food, which food would they be and why? For example, a series that used to be covered would be Gakkyo Hotai would be High C Ecto Cooler, a delicious drink that is sadly no longer around.
Except they're bringing it back, which might happen with Gakkyo. No.
Maybe, fingers crossed. Maybe they'll do an all-female movie version of Gakkyo Hotai.
Let's see. It's an interesting. This is a weird kind of question.
I don't want to not answer it because I feel like we already threw one of your questions away.
Yeah.
But this is like a. I shouldn't have spent so much time coming up with three World Trigger teams.
All right. Bleach would be a gigantic plate of pasta. From a restaurant that doesn't understand that portions for one are not portions for one family lineage, because you'd be eating it and be like, oh, this is really good, and then you just keep on going and going and going and going. You'd be like, I'm not really liking this as much anymore, and not, you know, as warm anymore, and the consistency is different here in the middle because there's so much of it, you know. You couldn't work, you know, stirring the sauce properly. Not all of it was boiled properly and stuff because there's so much of it.
And I forgot a couple ingredients as things went on.
Yeah, you know, you focus too much on adding noodles as opposed to making each individual noodle delicious. So you're working your way through it, and there's so much of it, and it's getting worse and worse as you get towards the middle. And then you're just kind of sad at the end. You're like, I want to stop. And then you're like, oh, well, that'll last you, you know, five more meals this week. And you'd be like, it's not good, though.
That was depressing. Spot on, though. I feel like Black Clover would be like eating a bag of Good and Plenty's. Where you're like, oh, this is awful. This is just terrible. But eventually you choose so many that you start to kind of get used to it, and you just... become kind of level with it. And you're like, all right, this ain't so bad. There's a little bit of merit to it here and there. I speak from personal experience. I lost a bet and had to eat a bag of Good and Plenty's.
So you're like, oh no, I can't believe
it. I'm like, oh, this is just like Black Clover.
I think that Fairy Tale would be like a box of Birdie Bots every flavor beans, like the actual kind you can get.
Okay, there's a vomit flavor out there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we call the Fighting Festival arc.
Yeah, you know, you get some that are just like, oh, yeah, that was actually pretty good. It was nice and sweet and so on and so on. Oh, no, Wendy fan service!
That's another good one.
Let's see,
I feel like mine are so Naruto. Bad because all mine are fucking... Mine are like candy bars. I'm like, Naruto is like a whatchamacallit. Where you're like, man, I remember that being really good now that I haven't had one for a while.
Yeah,
and you go back and you're like,
but if you went back, you would be like, oh no, what was I thinking?
Yeah, or like, maybe,
just remember it from when you were a child.
Maybe like a Butterfinger. After you take, if you go back and you take a bite, I'd be like, oh, there's so much shit in my teeth now. Yeah, pick this all out.
I think that that's enough.
Yeah.
Because this is, I think we're going to run out of good metaphors now. Our question is from Anonymous. It says, I love your work and your talks about the Sterners from Bleach and how weird they are. So I wonder if they'd go on a road trip to Disney World with 5 Sternritters, who would they be?
Where did the thought process to this question come from, I wonder? Like, when they're reading it, they're like, I really, like, is it like a goofy question? Like, oh, is this the other one? Or is this someone who's like, legitimately, like, I wonder what, if you can only pick 5. It's not like if you go to 1. It's like you could do a road trip with 5 Sternritter. Who would you pick?
We would go with Najiku, because of course we would.
This is your point. I'm taking the 5 chicks, alright?
I thought about just saying the 5 chicks, honestly. But
I mean, they all were pretty mean and awful.
They got along with each other relatively well.
Well, it turns out they were just waiting to betray, because the moment fucking Bambietta went down, showed any sign of weakness, they all turned on her.
Yeah. Honestly, though, I see a lot of the downsides with some of those, like, you know, oh, fuck, I've forgotten her name. Giselle would want to turn everyone to zombies and eat them, slash maybe fuck them. Not really clear on that.
not really sure exactly what she
Lil
did.
Lil Tota would want to eat everyone, and even if she didn't eat everyone, she would... Do you know how expensive the food at Disney World is? Like, you know, so I'm looking at the bad stuff of that. So, Najiku, because his name is fun to say, as note, would just be fun to be around, you know.
Really? The fear guy?
Because you would see him ruin people's days. Because he'd be like, you thought that the ride would be open, but it's down for maintenance. Oh, I didn't know that you didn't know that. I'm sorry. Remember, we made a character for him.
That's true. Oh, that's right, Assy. If you're getting Assy, that's a different thing. Yeah, if you get Assy, then it's different.
We should be clear that he is different. Let's see. Hoshvalt would be a good navigator and planner. You gotta have someone... Like
why didn't we put him on our operators for any of the teams?
Well, because he's... That wasn't confined to Sternritters. This is.
Wait, hold on. Let's go back to the Straw Hat. Channel also the Straw Hat crew. We kick the car off Navigator, put Hoshwalt in.
He's not...
At this point, I don't know who's in or out of Channel Awesome anymore.
Oh, God, why am I even bothering to try and remember the frickin' Sterners from memory? There's
No, Infamous posted a picture of them. There's all of them in there. There's a whole bunch here I completely forgot, too. No, I'm going to go with...
We would take Lilivaro Owl, specifically.
I feel like there's no way I could take 5 of these people. Like, even if I tried to, like, patiently do it, like, all right, Ishida, Hoshwalt, I don't feel like there's a way I can take 5 of these guys that won't end with them killing me. So at that point, why don't I take Bambietta? Because at least she fucked the dude she killed before the other one's gone.
She's fucking weird. I forgot about
that. Yeah, remember she just murdered a dude after she fucked him? And you're like, I guess that's the way to go?
They made no bones about that.
Yeah, if I have to go, that's the way to do it. So it could be Bambietta, and I don't know, Master Masculine, Baz B, As Not Lilivar. Who cares?
I think that my last one would be... Oh, fuck, I forgot it. Shit.
Why not Jazz Domino? Why not Jazz Domino?
Masculine, but he would want his cheering guy to be along, and that guy's fucking annoying. So let's say Grimmy just to make fun of him the whole time.
You should take Jazz Domino, the character introduced but never given a letter. And now all of them have been used, so be like, what were you?
Kubo's like, shut up.
Were you the umlaut? He's like, no, I'm just, shut up.
I actually heard this ridiculous fan theory about him, that he's like a creation of Grimmy's, and it was just like, this is insane. I'm not going to get into that, because
All right.
Next question.
From the Bilby Guy. Hello, Chris, One Dream Adventure Reborn, Admin Larios, and Nick, I'm not on Roll of T's forum, Freeman. Since the last extravaganza, you showed us all how much you guys love shipping questions. Here's another one for you. What's your favorite ship in One Piece? I see what
you're doing. Everyone Adventure. Come on.
Yeah. I wasn't sure. Basically, what's your favorite ship in One Piece? Actual physical ship in One Piece. I like the Moby Dick, Whitebeard's boat.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty pimp. The whale on the front, too. It's pretty.
Honestly, I don't heavily, you know, relate to ships. Like, I mean, the Going Merry's destruction did not affect me nearly as much as it affected some other people. I am very fond of the seeing ship that we got recently, but that is really just due to recency. I'm not the right person to, like, ask for what's your favorite ship design.
Ooh, actually, interesting ones you could go with. Blackbeard's raft, which was just a raft.
Just a raft.
Mihawk's sailing coffin. Remember, he just rode around a coffin across the ocean because he's that badass.
Fucking awesome.
So I'd go with that. Thriller Bark also technically counts, but I'm going to go with Moby Dick and Mihawk's fucking floating coffin as my backup.
And we also have, what are your favorite awesome ship moments?
The Going Merry coming back is really, that's the best. When the Going Merry shows up at the end of Water 7 to save everybody, that's a pretty awesome fucking moment.
Tears. Next question from Michael Hurt. Hey, Chris, roll-a-roll-a-roll-a-ting down the river? I don't know.
I wasn't sure if it was that or roll-a-roll-a-roll-a-roll, like the fucking Limp Bizkit song.
I don't know either. And Nick, why am I the ruler of time? To make sure my nigga twin X, the ruler of space, doesn't fuck things up, Freeman.
That's an elaborate one. I like that one.
I like that, yeah.
These should be like more of a thing. I feel like anybody who sends us a question,
you want us to make sure we answer your question, give us awesome funny joke names.
I just feel like that needs to be the thing. Like when you send in your question, it needs to be, hey Chris, you know, something in the middle, Larios, and Nick, something in the middle, Freeman. It doesn't have to be in that order. I'm not picky, just you need that.
We're not going to make that an actual requirement, but we are encouraging that.
I strongly encourage it.
One, if you could have the option of choosing all the various foods found from Chokugeki no Soma and Toriko, which would you pick to make the perfect meal?
I mean, that's like, I feel like it's a hard one to do, because the foods in Chokugeki no Soma are real, whereas the ones in Toriko are fantastical, so I'm like, am I comparing, like, I get to pair one magical food with a normal food? I feel like, because I'm like, I definitely take like the mammoth meat, because that was the best meat we've seen in Toriko, and I'm a meat guy. But I'm like, what would I? I don't know what I compare. I mean, I guess combine that with the potato ham from the first, or the potato pork from the first chapter of Food Wars.
You mean the pork bun?
No, it's the first chapter of Food Wars. He doesn't have meat, but he has to make a meat dish, so he like just wraps a bunch of like potatoes and bacon.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, roast, I guess, was the word I was looking for. I guess combine that with the roast, because then it's not a double thing of meat, but it's kind of like a double thing of meat. I almost feel like the more interesting one would be, like, if you could take a food from Toriko and have a chef from Food Wars cook it, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if there's just a food from Food Wars where I'm like, that's so interesting, I need to pair it with something.
I'm not really sure what I would have to probably think much more deeply to answer this question. But the one, I think, most memorable, like, dish that I found absolutely delicious-looking from Shokugeki no Soma was the kind where he prepared the rice and then tossed, like, the meat cubes into it, and they melted on the rice.
That was, like, his second dish, I think, he made?
That was a really early one.
It's, like, the first one he made for Erina, which I think was his first real
test. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that looked good. Second question. Based on your latest at the time this came out, Super WMR, you were, like me, a huge fan of Animorphs, and based on other WMR fans, of a lot of 90s/2000 series such as Big Bad Beetleborgs/Time Squad/Space Cases.
Hold on. We're not fans of Big Bad Beetleborgs and Space Cases. We watched them. Those were not good shows.
I don't even know what Space Cases is.
You may have seen it. Did you watch a lot of Nickelodeon when you were a kid? You didn't.
No. Right?
Okay, that's why. It was this weird, like, space, like, kind of like Star Trek, but for kids, but everyone had special powers because they had to make it interesting. It wasn't great. Okay.
Time Squad was legitimately awesome.
Time Squad was great. It's fucking solid all the way through.
Big Bad Beetleborgs, I look back on it, and I'm like, what the fuck? What? Why did they have a Jay Leno ghost genie?
Why not, Nick?
If you were to take one of these older shows and turn it into a manga, which would you pick, and how would you try to update it for current manga audiences? Honestly, out of all those, I think you would have to go with Animorphs, because, I mean, Big Bad Beetleborgs has too much stupid shit that was purely a product of the Saban adaptation. I think there might be, like, an original manga for the original series, because there are a bunch of manga for, like, Kamen Rider and stuff like that, so there could be a manga for that. I think Time Squad was too episodic in order to do a good manga. You would have to basically just do, like, you would have to make, I guess you could do a gag manga for it. You know, have each chapter be on a different, you know, mission and stuff, but it would just be a bunch of gags.
It would be a short series, though. I feel like that would eventually run out of steam.
Animorphs, though, I think you could definitely do stuff with that, have them transform into animals and so on. I think maybe to make it bit more like shonen, if they wouldn't just
Rachel's clothes pop off every time she transforms. No,
I guess she was old enough for that. She was like 14 or 13 or something.
She was
like
in high school, so I didn't think she was a freshman.
I think it was 14. I believe they say they were 14 or in 15, right around there when they began. So that's old enough.
Yeah, for Japan.
Do that. Yeah, I guess that would happen. I think that in order to make it a bit more shonen, they wouldn't just, like, transform into normal animals. They would, like, be a little bit, you know, super animal somehow. Maybe a little bit more humanoid or something along those lines.
Another one I thought of, it's not on the list, but going off of any 90s, 2000s series, I feel like Jackie Chan Adventures would make a good, like,
shonen manga. That's a fun show.
I feel like that could easily, because you got the talisman powers, eventually you put the demons in there. I feel like it's just kind of a premise that would work well for it.
I think a lot of that show was built around, you know, the comedic, Jackie Chan stunt fighting style was worked into the animation a lot. So I think you would lose a good amount of that if you did a manga.
Plus, you can't actually hear one more thing.
Fucking love Uncle. He's so racist, but I love him. Third, since you admit to not really being fans of Halloween, what would be your favorite holidays, and would you want to see a manga or even just a one shot made to celebrate them? Favorite holiday.
At this point in my life, Christmas is my favorite holiday. When I was a kid, I used to say it was St. Patrick's Day because my Christmases back then were super depressing and I like my Irish heritage. But at this point, I can admit Christmas is a better, like, more enjoyable holiday for me. So would I want a Christmas manga? No. Unless you're doing a manga based on Muppet Christmas Carol, in which case I might be on board. But otherwise, I'm sure there are Christmas manga out there. I'm sure there has to be a manga version of, like, Christmas Carol somewhere. I just haven't seen it. But I don't want to see Christmas stuff. It's generally pretty bad. Unless it's, like, done very carefully.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of torn on this because, first of all, I don't like a lot of holidays, honestly. I think a lot of them are just, like, excuses to do stupid shit. And another number of them are excuses for the green card industry to make money. But I think, for basically the same reason, I'm going to say too, Valentine's Day and Thanksgiving. Because then you have, you know, this special day of the year that you take to celebrate with someone you love. Valentine's Day, romantic love. Thanksgiving is, you know, just general people around you, your family, or just people you know, consider close enough to be your family and stuff like that. But you can do that without the stress of having to make sure that everyone in your fucking life gets a present, or you include everyone in your life, basically, like Christmas does. So, it basically, this it's the same answer for two different actual holidays.
I got a better holiday, Nick.
Really?
Steak and Blowjob Day. 1 month after Valentine's Day, Steak and Blowjob Day, the manga.
That's Pie Day!
Well, in some circles, it's known as Steak and Blowjob Day. And that's the circle I want to be a part of. I love steak and blowjobs way more than I like pie. Unless we're talking about really good pecan pie, because that's hard to find.
Okay. Next question, I think this is going to be for you, Chris.
This is from a fan. When did Air Gear stop making sense to you? That is a tough one to answer.
We may answer that question eventually.
Yeah. Honestly, the way I could best describe it is I think it's around the point where... I'm trying to remember the character's name. It's not... I don't think it's Spitfire, but it may be. Basically, it's a character who died. The character who was the current king of the Flame Road. And I remember that's where things started to get really confusing for me. Because that's where shit tons of characters came in. It stopped being really about the main group skating and doing these contests. It started to get into this overall bigger plot. And it just became ridiculous from there. But there's so many points where you could be like, and that's where this stopped being a thing, and this started becoming more of a thing, and there's a lot of weird points. But I guess that's probably where it got weirdest for me.
Mm. All right, next we have a question from an anonymous sender. If you were forced to eat a Zoan fruit, which animal would you choose? You gotta know what kind of furry we're gonna be.
Or not a furry. You could be an unfurry. There's non-furry animals.
There's terms for those, though.
People have fetishes for those, too.
People have fetishes for those, too, Chris.
I know birds. I only know this because playing Tales of Zestiria, the main character has a bunch of feathers, so we were talking about how he turned into a furry, and someone looked up what birds are, and I think they're just called avians.
And, there's...
Scalies, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it doesn't matter. You can't escape, yeah. I'm not a very big... animal kind of person. I hate questions that are like, what kind of animal do you most associate with? There's a story behind that, but you're never going to hear them, unfortunately.
Nick killed a man during it. That's what I could never tell you. Well, statue of limitations.
Well, Chris knows the story. I've told him, but it's I can't tell you guys about it.
Basically. And I'm telling you guys, he killed a man. That's why I can't tell you.
I'm under witness protection. So, but when I was a kid, I liked the big cats a lot. I liked tigers. I liked cheetahs. I used to be actually really into cheetahs, but I think that I would go for, like, a tiger now.
This feels lame because I'm going to be a lion. So we're like...
Oh, nice!
We're right on the same page. Like
David and Jake, Chris!
Yeah, like, I'm going to high-five you, but I feel like the people listening are like, that's so lame. You guys both had the whole animal kingdom to work with, and you picked, like, the two most similar creatures you could have.
We're David and Jake, Chris. We've got to fight in Book 21. That's right, I know the number.
Wow.
I don't remember the title of the book, though, because they were generic.
Yeah, like Departure.
It was always the noun.
the anger, I don't know. If not a lion, though. Because I just think, like, I feel like One Piece showed off the best Zoans were basically, like, kind of the ones that just enhance what you already have and make it better. Like, Uchi having the leopard, so lion just seemed like that same thing. But if not that, maybe like a crab fruit. That seems kind of cool. But no, I go with lion. Oh, or chameleon. I think chameleon would be cool, too.
Okay.
Are you flipping through the books right now?
I could do that. Hang on a second.
No, I was asking. All right. Go ahead. I'll be here alone, thinking about my sweet-ass lion powers. Have, like, big majestic mane everywhere. Big old fangs and paws. And I could play with Scotia, like as a big cat. Uh-oh. Now Nick's leaving forever! Damn you, Skype. You worthless fuckhole. Bitter and angry. Can't be a lion man after all. Lions have more respect than this. But if I do become a lion man, I can easily change my name to Mufasa, and nobody... will have a negative comment to say on it. Like, everyone's like, nah, this is super fitting. You're now Mufasa, the Lion Man. So, I'm actually, like, pretty kind of pumped about that. So, you know, Lion was maybe the smartest pick of all. I'm gonna go with that. Well, while we wait for Nick, I'm just gonna move on to the next question here. Sounds like it's gonna disconnect in a moment, so we'll call back at that point. This is from Anonymous as well. Says, I'm just going straight to the question here. If you were a Stern Ritter, what would be your wacky name and power? Bonus points if you include a silly-looking form. Huh. This is a tough one. If I was a Stern Ritter, what would be my wacky name and power? I feel like I'd want to go with, like, the letter C. I'd be the C. What would I be with the C? It'd be the cash? That's not that good. The castration! My power is to cut off people's testicles. That's not a good one either. The crab. I can have my crab powers. That's not great. The compression. That'd not be bad. The compression. Like, I just air pressure fucking suffocate people. I'm gonna go with that. I can air compress people. And what would be my silly looking form? Well, the forms at this point don't really make a whole lot of sense anymore. Like, they don't really seem to connect much with the character. So I feel like I would go with my ever infamous online persona of Don Frosty, where I turn into a giant snowman with big muscle arms. But my carrot nose is actually a bazooka from which I fire laser beams. Because eventually when you transform, your compression power doesn't really... It's, who cares anymore? You just get laser power kind of things. And I feel like that's the best kind of way to go about it. Might seem obtuse in certain ways. But I'm actually pretty happy with it. I feel like that could work. Some pretty strong dividends. Nick looks like he's back, so let's call him in and find out. Oh, let's see, internet connection problem. Will Nick be able to connect and add to the call? Says Mike fell over, which I think disconnects him from everything. That seems so horrible. Oh, dear. It's not really that much crazier than the other Stern Ritters we've seen, but I don't know. In the same way, I kind of like that. No, call failed. Nope, dropped him again. All right, well, I'll bookmark this one. Come back to Nick when he comes back. We'll just we'll move along here. This one is from Anonymous. It says, "Dear Chris Alicious, and why Booler of Time?" Question for both of us. I'm going to skip over the next question here because he's obviously not in the call right now. But I'll do the question he has for me. And that is, would you recommend some running music? My current playlist is starting to get stale. This is a tough one to answer because I don't know necessarily what your taste in music is. So if you want to like send a follow-up question just with your specific taste in music or some songs you like, I can give you more general or more specific answers. But for general kind of recommendations and things like that, a couple songs I like, I'll go with some lesser known ones. Young the Giant has a song called My Body. Really good running song, really good kind of like any just workout song, anything you're trying to do in physical fitness or anything like that. That's a really good one. I like Master Plan has a song Sail On. A lot of people know it as like the One Piece AMV that's kind of infamous, or I guess just regular famous. That's actually though a really good running song. I'm someone who's really into having like a high energy kind of pace song, so that's what I tend to go with. If you're into like that kind of rock music kind of area, is it called The Pretender? The Foo Fighters song Pretender. That's a great song. I think that one is absolutely phenomenal. Highly recommend that one. If you're looking for kind of like more rap hip-hop, I'm not too well-versed in that, but I will say that Kanye West's Power is a good one, as well as Kanye West Stronger, which samples Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger from... Hello, Nick. You all right?
I am so sorry.
That's all good. I'm just in the midst of answering a question here.
Okay.
About running music.
What is our question?
It's one specifically for me about running music. I have a couple hours I have to go back before on yours, but...
Oh, okay.
I'm just giving some more running. If you're okay with songs that are kind of weird being on there, I think that Phil Collins in Genesis has a song, and I know people are going to be like, oh, he's talking about Phil Collins.
Phil Collins, yeah.
But Genesis has a song called Jesus, He Loves Me, which is not a song lyric-wise that's good for running, but the pace of the song I find just fantastic for running. So that's one I go to. And then outside of that, there's a lot of other ones, I think, but if you send a follow-up email that gives more specifics about what your taste is, I'll be able to kind of give you better answers for it, I think. Because as right now, I have a very eclectic taste, which is just a fancy way of saying I have a shitty taste in music that's all over the place. So I'll be able to give you some better ones if you get some specifics. Nick, there were two questions for you then.
Two?
Well, one I already answered my half of. If you were Stern Ritter, what would be your wacky name and power be? And bonus points if you include a silly-looking form. I didn't give my name. That's my thing. I gave my power. I was the C, the compression, where I had, like, compressing powers. I could just, like, pressurize things, essentially. Like, just, you know, like, kind of put a force around them and just rip them apart or crush them, I guess. But I didn't give myself a name. And I guess my name would be, like, Chrisman Criscoloto.
Okay.
Esquire. Oh, no, wait, an ampersand's at the end of my name. So you don't know how to pronounce it. You're like, do I pronounce it like Criscolot and or Criscolot ampersand? What do I do with this?
My name would be Yardman Yeardley.
Okay.
From Y-Rot. Let's see. I have no idea what my power would be, because those things have varied so much. Like, some of them have been very simple, as like, oh, you know, it's me, the voice. Or, no.
I have fire powers.
Yeah, F the fire and stuff like that. F the fear, not B the burn, wasn't it? Fuck, what was Basby's title? I forget.
Was it?
He was Basby was B?
No, because no, B wasn't. Is balance for you, Hoshwalt.
That's how much Basby's backstory had an effect on me. I can't remember what his fucking letter was. God.
I'm looking at a picture here. He was the Heat. That's right. How could we forget the Heat?
And there's, like, you know, the Iron and so on and so forth. So it has to be something that's, like, very simple.
Did we ever find out what BG9 did?
No.
It was the K. Remember him being a robot?
He didn't know.
What he actually did, though.
Let's do fucking R the robot.
You're Robonick.
It's basically just like I've forgotten his name. The machinery guy from Fairy Tail right now.
Oh, Wall.
Yeah, Wall. Just, you know, build a bunch of stuff to find my place.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I like his gimmick. I like him so far.
And when you release, you also like Wall, you just turned into a fatter version of yourself for some reason. You have the ability to make a robot that looks like yourself. You made a hideous one.
Just, like, turn into an H.R. Geiger type of machinery thing, you know, with weird penis stuff everywhere.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And this is a question here for you. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I have a fleeting memory of you having a pretty good Stone Cold Steve Austin impersonation from an earlier episode. If so, which character from the regular series would you assign it to?
I don't know if my Stone Cold is actually good. I do wrestling impressions all the time on my other podcast because it's just fun to do. But, I mean, Steve Austin just, oh, hell, I gotta read Bleach again, son of a bitch. Oh, well.
I shit my pants. I finished the match. who would get that voice, Nick?
Who would get that voice? We'll have to find someone for that.
Maybe that could be the ever-fleeting Mineta voice that we couldn't decide on last week. He's Stone Cold for some reason.
Oh, y'all, your roses, boober roses. Oh, hell yeah.
I like this now.
Oh, no.
Don't worry, Nick. I'm sure he doesn't have, lines. Who knows when the next episode of Weekly Manga Recap Lives is. Oh, tomorrow? Oh, sorry, Nick.
316 says I gotta find myself some burglary equipment, son.
Apparently these were both from Satellite of Love, because the email that comes afterwards from the exact same person, if you want to take that.
Hmm. Alright, yeah, next question is from, it's a morbid question specifically. If you could cut off Hiro's drawing hands and inhuman work ethic, so not literally cutting them off, but cut him off from them.
Basically, like, the devil, he just lost the fiddling contest to the devil. Someone gives it to, you know, gives it to someone else. And with right. it comes their work ethic.
Right, right, right. Give any other mangaka Hiro's drawing ability and also his absurd ability to pump out content. I guess it would have to be Ashihara.
Yeah, no, I could absolutely see that. I mean, I would love to get World Trigger as often as possible.
I mean,
every week, you know, without him having to suffer health issues.
I disagree with you in terms of World Trigger not having its own style, but its style is the fact
that... It has its own style. I just don't think it's a very distinct style.
It seems much more plain in parts. Mm-hmm. I think that, on you know, as a whole, it really does seem like its own thing. It gives a unique feel that I find to be really cool, but I think that if... I do think that, you know, having some real... upping the drawing ability would help it out as well. As well as just having more World Trigger content.
Sure that.
I mean, you know, for... Talk about a series that could use a bunch of spin-offs to talk about all the different characters, because that series has a bunch of different characters I want to learn more about.
True. Question here from Jack L. Lebrano. Dear Chris and Nick, seeing that both of you have watched Gravity Falls, I came to the realization that American kids' cartoons are quickly becoming just as much of a fandom forming as many other popular animes. And I know this is a bit of a long shot, but do you think there will be a point where Japan will get obsessed over animation that America has put out in the same way that we are obsessed over the things Japan puts out?
That happened a long time ago. It was called Disney.
Yeah.
That's where anime comes from, is Disney. So.
And it's also, to be fair, a lot of things from America still do get really popular over in Japan. I don't know if specifically they...
You just don't know about fandoms because you're an ignorant Westerner.
Well, it's also said that you aren't in Japan, so you probably can't actually see what's super popular over there. But, like, I mean, not necessarily in the realm of children's cartoons, but American blockbusters are literally an import over there.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge thing for them.
They like them so much, they show them to their prisoners of war, as far as I know from Border. Yeah, check it out. T2.
He's just like, Ant-Man, I guess this will suffice till the next movie. What's that going to be? Batman versus Superman? Like, ugh. When Civil War come out? Not soon enough.
Yeah. And also, I think that you say that American youth cartoons are becoming just as fandom-forming. I think those fandoms have existed for a very long time. It's just that with the advent of social media and stuff, it's a lot easier to tell that they exist.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a bunch of fans of, you know, shows like Powerpuff Girls and Courage the Cowardly Dog, Duchess Laboratory, just in our childhood, to say nothing of kids' cartoons from, like, the 80s and so on and so forth. Because, I mean... people still really fondly think of stuff like Thundercats, He-Man, and so on and so forth, that I really feel like if they had access to, like, social media and stuff, you would have been able to see a lot of different communities get formed and a lot of stuff getting passed around and stuff like that. It's just a matter of kids just talk to each other in person instead. Well, I don't mean instead, but that was basically the only way the kids could talk about the stuff they liked. They didn't have, like, this thing where you like, you know, talk about it with people all over the country, all over the world, who liked and watched the same things in order to form those online fandoms and stuff. Those things have always existed. It's just that, you know, now we have the ability to actually have access and share these things that share our common interests and stuff. That's what's great about living in the internet age. You know, it kind of makes up for all of the random anonymous attacks that people watch on each other.
Yeah. Powerpuff Girls even has its own anime over in Japan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was an import.
Regular series.
Yep, that was an import thing, you know? Yeah. And
celebrities are huge. Just look at manga. I mean, My Hero Academia is clearly based off of American comic books. One Piece had characters based off of Mankind and Eminem. So, it has an influence over there. We just maybe aren't as aware of it because we aren't actually in the country, so... Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if you
perception.
like look I'm sure, like, if you, you know, looked on 2chan and stuff like that, I mean, and you could actually speak Japanese fluently and so on and so forth, you would see that sort of stuff being passed around as well.
Yeah.
Next question. Also from Jack L. Lebrano. I guess I'm reading this?
Yeah.
Okay. I know you already...
hold on.
Wait. Hello, Jesus Chris, superstar! And Nick Z, ruler of time.
That one was less innovative, yeah. But I love Jesus Chris Superstar.
That's like your wrestling name.
I know, right?
I know you already covered how you can make a good time skip in one of your previous episodes, but it seems that out of all shonen manga, One Piece is the only one that went through a time skip that hasn't ultimately wrecked the story or made it worse. Obvious examples being Toriko and Bleach, respectively. However, the question still stands... Has One Piece gotten better since the time skip, or just stayed the same? I would argue it has gotten worse. I can't think of too many things that have happened since the time skip that really make me feel like, oh yeah, that was awesome. And
stuff. Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it's a subjective thing. I know a lot of people who say that they thought the series got worse after the time skip in One Piece. I think this is more answered. That's not necessarily because of time skips. I think that because time skips take part in a point in the story... where it has to have already been going on for so long, it's generally that series decline over time. They hit their high point at certain points, and it tends to be before the time skip happened. I mean, like, if you were to name your high point in Naruto, where would it be? Probably, like, around the Chunin exams, Gaara arc, that sort of area. Like, it's not necessarily that the time skip ruins Naruto, it's just that Naruto was always kind of declining, because there's going to be a decline in your enjoyability of a series.
Like, well, a time skip has to also occur in a point where the action has reached a stopping point. Mm-hmm. So it loses momentum and then has to build it up again.
Yeah. So, like, I love One Piece still. I love it to this, you know, I'm probably never going to not love One Piece, but I could agree that I don't enjoy the series as much because, or after the time skip necessarily. Doesn't just mean the series is bad, but...
Yeah, just haven't gotten as much good stuff. Like, you know, consider where it left off with that huge, massive battle between, you know, Whitebeard's army and the Marines and so on and so forth, capped off with Whitebeard and Ace both dying after all that shit that Luffy went through. Before that, you know, there was all the stuff the prison. And then before that, there was all this stuff. Yeah, and then before that, you know,
with Magellan.
Yeah, looking, you know, Luffy
and
punching out
Zaddy.
The. And Luffy punching out the World Noble, and before that, there was Thriller Bark, which was a big old long arc and stuff with a bunch of memorable characters, and some of which actually were memorable enough to, you know, really stick around afterward, because, you know, Brook got added to the crew, and Perona is a pretty popular side character,
Gecko
stuff like that.
Is bound to show up again at some point.
Now, we've gotten to, you know, the whole thing with Doflamingo.
Which was a great arc.
But... which was good, but it was just kind of like, was it as good as some of the stuff in the past, though, you know? And it's not a matter of, like... So I think it's just a matter of, like, people see a decline in quality. Because, you know, who knows? In a few years, people might be looking like, oh, man, One Piece really went downhill after that time skip, didn't it? You know, it's just a really easy and convenient point because the story stops and then it starts up again and everything is different. And then you can say, well, things are worse now. They were better before the time skip. At a certain point, so the time skip made the things worse. Not necessarily. And on a completely unrelated topic, were you as disappointed as I am when Lilibaro's final form wasn't the angel equivalent to the winged dragon of Ra instead of that weird holy centaur chicken thing?
I still can't even... I cannot literally describe what his new form is. I'm like, it's some kind
he
of...
He is a god, Chris!
I'm like, he's some kind of deer, angel... thing with an owl head or something.
With, like,
made out of energy.
With perpendicular eyelids and stuff. Very weird.
Very strange.
Very entertaining to look at, though, and to make fun of, too.
Email from Anonymous. Dear Weekly Manga Recap, since you guys are big wrestling fans, I've already read this question. I don't know what this has to do with being a wrestling fan. I wonder which fighting game is your favorite, Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat? Spelled with a C, which I feel like really shows a testament of your Mortal
ignorance.
Kombat appreciation. I'm not a good fighter. I want to like fighting games. I am horrendous at fighting games. As a kid, I used to get into tantrums because I'd lose against the computer player all the time. And as an adult, I generally just tend to get the living shit kicked out of me. I couldn't beat Street Fighter 4 on the easiest setting in story mode because I couldn't beat the final boss. But there are certain games I'm okay with. Like, Mortal Kombat I'm actually decent enough at. That's the one I kind of grew up with, and I beat Pushing Up Roses at MAGFest and took her honor that no one's been able to take back from me since then.
Because you haven't played them.
Yeah. I played her once. I played her one other. No.
I'm retiring.
I didn't play her. I played Sean at MAGFest, and he tried to take her honor back, and then I played Demo Versailles. The two of them tried to take her honor back. Both of them failed, and now her honor
really?
Is...
Really? So you've actually, like...
I defended it twice.
You defended the title.
I defended it twice, and now her honor is a post-it note in my fridge.
You gotta, like, put the post-it note, like, on a belt. Not, like, a giant wrestling belt, just, like, a normal belt.
Yeah.
And, like, hold it up over your head like it's a wrestling belt.
Yeah, well, I did it. So I like that, and like, there's other ones. If you consider Smash Brothers, I always find that fun, though I like it in spite of its competitive scene. I love it when it's four players, stages.
I ignore the competitive scene absolutely and completely. It is just, it's like, games are supposed to be fun, guys.
I think some people have their different way of having fun.
Like,
it's just
we make money off of this, and I'm like, good for you.
But like, Marvel vs. Capcom is a good example. I want to love Marvel vs. Capcom. I want to be good at Marvel vs. Capcom. I will never be good at Marvel vs. Capcom, and it annoys me. So I just try not to play those kinds of games very much.
Yeah,
I want to. I like them, but I'm just not good at them.
I'm not the kind of player that would be good at fighting games, because I consider myself to have pretty good reflexes, but combining that with video games, it doesn't really work for me. I don't know exactly why. It's just like a completely separate thing for me, and my reflexes in video games are not very good. Now, I don't play Street Fighter. I don't play Mortal Kombat. Play Super Smash Brothers. Haven't played in a while though, because don't have the newer one. Don't have either of the systems they came out on, and don't really have plans to get them. So, my favorite fighting game is the original Super Smash Brothers. The Nintendo 64 1997 one. Because that was how I originally grew my love of Captain Falcon, who I played on every game thereafter that he was in. So, yeah.
Okay.
And original Captain Falcon was the best Captain Falcon. Because he was actually good.
You like Ganondorf?
He was good without the knee in that game, too. So, yeah. Ganondorf he's kind of fun to play, because if he hits you, you die. But he's not as fun to play, because what I like about Falcon is that he is so goddamn fast. You know, you just jump around everywhere and stuff. And that's what, you know, that is generally how, like, competitive players play stuff, is like, oh, you get to react to everything and jump around and do a bunch of combos and stuff like that. With Falcon, it's just like, I run over there, and I jump, and I do this in the air, and I do that, and he's just fun to play, and all of his moves were really fun in the original game. We should wrap up soon, I guess.
As for on questions from the 10th of November, we were on such a good track before. We were like, we got through everything.
Good job last month!
I feel like we're doing a good job this month. I don't know why. I feel like we're so far behind. We're getting too many questions, which I don't want that to be a problem. I want people to send in questions.
Well, how many emails did we get through? Oh, God, we got through a lot.
Yeah, we got through a lot. I feel the questions we need to get less of are the ones that are like the one we're about to fucking come up on. Not that it's a bad question, but it's like, name something for each series.
How about we, like, get through the 10th of November and call it, so this and, like, one more.
Okay. Right. We'll do that.
Okay. It's your turn to read.
Oh, was it? Oh, sorry. This is from Rana DL, who says, recent Q&A to contest between the most overpowered in series characters in series you read. Let's reverse that. Who would win a free-for-all amongst the worst fighters, i.e. the characters who are going to lose the moment they show up in each series?
I like how these aren't, like, the weakest characters, just... the ones who lose.
Yeah. So who would be the first to lose? His suggestions are One Piece would be Buggy, Chad would be Bleach, Naruto would be Tenten, Zonge would be Toriko, Fairy Tail Elfman, no one really in My Hero Academy, he suggests Mineta, World Trigger would be Chano Squad, who Ashihara literally said this squad could turn any battle into a defeat. And Black Clover would be the bronze magic guy from Chapter 2, who I think has shown up a couple times since then.
Who would win? Who would be the first to lose? Bucky would win, I think, because he would find a way to survive until there was like one person left and he would take them out. Mm. Tenten would throw a bunch of stuff and they would do nothing. Chad would beat someone
now,
and
I
then
wanna,
lose.
I want to question this. Is Chad the one who should be on here, or should it be Renji?
Renji beat Master Masculine and then did not immediately lose to someone else.
But so has he before that beaten anybody?
Before that, he had not beaten anyone in the manga.
I feel like Renji needs to be here on instead of...
Well, but Renji... Renji
but Chad has beaten people, they're just not important people.
Renji has lost all of his fights because he kept on punching above his weight class. He took on Ichigo in the middle of his big power-up, then he took on Byakuya. Oh, no, wait. Renji beat Zanapuro's brother. Remember, the bull guy. Remember when Grimmjow got hurt by Ichigo and was like, I'm gonna go fight that guy again. And so he took a bunch of his bros and they invaded Karakura town when they weren't supposed to.
Yeah, I remember the five-person group. I don't remember Renji beating somebody.
He
did fight Mud Boots Lady. I guess he beat her, too.
Beat her, too. Renji beat Ilfort Gantz, whose ability turned him into a giant bull, and Ururu tried to stop him and did pretty well up until he just gored her. And then that basically he was beating Renji until the power restriction limit being applied to him, Matsumoto, and Hitsugaya was removed, and then he just beat the guy.
Okay, fair enough.
He beat Jackie, and he beat, just recently, Master Masculine, and most of his fights beside that were like, well, he took on a super broken Espada, he took on Ichigo in the middle of his big power-up, he took on Byakuya, he took on Aizen, stuff like that. Chad's big thing was beating unimportant characters and then losing. So he beat the third seed of the 8th Division, Tatsus Masa? Something like that. And then Shinsui just beat him.
You're angry at me for remembering characters in One Piece. You remember the fucking third seat of, like, Squad 8?
Then he beat... I never remember Afro guy with huge fists who was with the, you know, the Privara Espada, the former Espada, but he beat him, and then Noitora showed up and kicked his ass, and then Noitora's fraction proceeded to start beating Chad to death. His underling was the guy kicking Chad's ass after that. So, yeah, Chad is the guy who represents Bleach there. Easily. So, who would lose first? I think it would have to be Chano Squad. Let's do Bronze Magic Guy, honestly.
Yeah, he's the biggest goober in that. Well, if not him, then Zange?
Zange has too much of a thing of constantly showing up. Because he doesn't actually get his ass kicked, he just runs away from everything.
True.
I think that he wouldn't be the first defeated, he would just run away. He would, like, see the battle, and then, Mr. Satan, he would realize he was in over his head, and he would hide, and he would run away. I think that Chad and Elfman would get into this huge knockdown brawl, and eventually Chad would beat him, and then someone would, like, knock him over the back of the head and beat him. And I'm convinced that Buggy would eventually win.
Fair enough. Alright, so Buggy wins, and Black Bronze Magic Guy is the first to go down.
Right. Okay, and last question then. Or last email, at least.
This is you, I believe, right?
Yes, okay. Not signed, so two comments / questions. The first is that I believe that you're saying Husei's name wrong. I'm pretty certain the E is actually supposed to be silent, similar to, for example, the word note. I say this based on two things. There's no E sound at the end of his name in the Japanese text, and if you watch the anime, there's no pronunciation of the E when his name is said. Interesting. So it's Hughes? Like May Hughes?
Ooh.
Okay. I'm going to
a series that already has a May Hughes, too.
I'm going to guess the author wanted the romanization to not look overly Japanese, but it causes confusion, and then a manga reader is naturally combined to read like a Japanese name. Yes, very true. So, I'll look into that and double-check on that, but okay, yeah, we might have to change that. Although, we might not just be like, hey, it's Yusei, fuck it.
Yeah, it's Yusei now forever. Yeah.
The second is that I was wondering if you guys plan to ever review Liar Game. You did One Out, the other manga by the author, and I know Chris has mentioned Liar Game a few times in the past, but there hasn't been any full-on review yet, and I think that that would be cool to see. Maybe we will. I guess that's
kind of it's an option.
That's a suggestion, I guess. Yeah,
it's never...
Not gonna cut it out.
No. Yeah. All
right, that's it. No more, nothing. No more forever. No more questions ever answered. Ever.
This is a long one.
Well, we did do a lot of like multi-part questions. We did a lot of list all of your answers type of thing. And
but you know, I almost want to go back on what I said because I feel like those were some of the fun ones too.
We did have a lot of fun doing this. I know we were complaining, but it was more just a matter of like, oh god, this is like the fourth one of these we've had to do. It's, you know, variety is, you know, where you get your is what is most entertaining in life, you know. That is it. So, but thank you everyone so much for all the questions that we got. We really had a good time, I think, doing this episode. Technical difficulties from Nick fucking up his microphone aside. By the way, the book that I was thinking of is called The Threat. So, we will definitely look forward to doing the next Q&A edition of Weekly Manga Recap here on hitbox.tv/RoloT. So be sure to keep on sending those questions in. To weeklymangarecap@yahoo.com is where you're listening to this, presumably. weeklymangarecap@yahoo.com is the address you should send those to. I got my addresses very confused there. Sorry.
I forgive you, Nick.
And thank you so much to all of our Patreon supporters, because your support allows us to create all sorts of bonus content for you guys to enjoy, such as episodes like this.
Yes. Yeah. We got some exciting stuff coming up, too. I recently posted up on Patreon, too. I talked a little bit about what we're expecting this month. Next week, we're going to be... So if you're listening to this now, and presumably if you are after the fact, then you're probably also going to listen to the new episode right afterwards. So you'll know in that one that Siren's not on that episode. We're going to be doing Siren next week, which next week might be... the biggest episode of Weekly Manga Recap, guys.
It's gonna be huge. Yeah.
Like, not just in terms of like time, but also just like the one of the most pivotal ones, because it's going to be Siren, which is a series a lot of people want us to talk about. We're going to be having Annalisa on, Letter for Siren, also Letter for World Trigger and Black Clover. We're going to be having the next part of World Trigger to My Heart, and it also is very potentially going to be our pilot episode for the transition into video.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a very big episode in that regards. Going to be very exciting. I got some cool stuff planned for that. I will say right now, I have plans to incorporate a small measure of visual element into that fan fiction because of that. So it's not going to be huge, because I want Infamous, you know, he can still do his visual version of it. I don't want that to get bothered, but I will say maybe a little theatrical at points. But outside of that, we have potentially another guest lined up for this month. We wouldn't do something special for Christmas. There's the bonus pod coming out. That's going to be super exciting. I'm pumped. More surprises I haven't really gotten into. A lot of cool stuff, guys. This is going to be a very awesome month. And if you want to find out more, you can check out a little bit of a post on that on Patreon. Just stay tuned on Patreon. There are updates on there for the podcast and things like that.
So yeah.
Very good.
So thank you everyone for joining us, and I think that's going to do it.
We got to end on like a joke, right?
No, we don't.
I thought it was in our contract.
You can't always give the people what they want, Chris.
Are you in my head?
I'm everywhere.